how to start. Well, welcome, everyone. My goodness, what a day today has been. What a day it is in America. America is waking up, they're hearing us, and it is time. Welcome to the Republic Roundtable. This is July the 19th, 2012. Well, what we thought was going to happen in about March of this year is happening now. We are quickening, we are accelerating. Very, very exciting things are happening in this republic. And if you're not seeing it where you are, you're just not plugged in. So get plugged in. Get to know your neighbors. Get to know your those who are in your local assembly. Go have fellowship together. Barbecues are great. So are, what do they call them, potlucks or potlucks and cookouts. So let's get started this evening. We've got an exciting roundup here. I want to start with a quote that those of you who receive the newsletter will have, and it comes from a 19th century philosopher. All truth passes through three stages. First, it's ridiculed. Second, it's violently opposed. And third, it's accepted as being self-evident. So we are seeing that right now. I had the opportunity of seeing some of the blogs out there from the media as Randy Shannon's message has been going out. And it is astounding. It's astounding the pushback. It's astounding the different levels that people take this knowledge and interpret it. So we're going to get into that here a bit this this evening. But before we do, we always like to start with taking our call to the Lord, taking our hearts at the end of the day to the Lord, to submit ourselves to Him and to allow Him to work through us. So I'd like to ask you all to take a deep breath, take a pause in what you're doing, and let's just take our hearts to the Lord. And I'm looking for my friend here, Bill Dobek, but I don't see you yet. So I am going to take another friend of mine here, and that is Mr. Van Alstead. Can you find him, Janine?
Sure, let me go look for him.
Okay. And those of you who are on the host code, if you would please mute your phones, that would help us.
Bear with me, Robert. It's wanting to act a little slow this evening. There he is.
All right.
Welcome, Art.
Hey, I thought I heard my name mentioned.
Yeah, it was not in vain, Art.
All right. Well, I was hoping not.
Art, I wonder if you could speak closer into your microphone. Could you speak closer into your microphone for
us? Oh, yes, I can. Thank
you.
There
you go.
Thank you for reminding me.
I would like to ask you to lead us out in a word of prayer, sir.
All right. I'll do that, and happily do that, and proud to do it, and humbled to do it. So here we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have put before us. And we thank you for the confidence that you have put in us to be able to help you with this awesome once-in-a-lifetime international in our planet project. This will never come by again. So we want you to bless us with the courage and the wisdom and the common sense that you would give us to be able to help you with this project, Lord. We ask you to keep us safe, keep us healthy, to ride the course, and to keep our minds open and in the mindset of the fathers of our nation that started this out. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and hallelujah.
Thank you.
For those of you who have been on the President's Fast, you will have noticed your body's going through a few things over the last week and a half or two. So we've invited some health practitioners from around the Republic to come on and share with us some insights and some things to watch for in your body. This is a time of acceleration for all of us, you guys and gals. You wait for that opportunity. I don't know how your journey is. You can either fight all the way, or you can wait on the Lord and fight the fight as He presents you the next piece. And it's been a hard won lesson for me to learn to wait on Him, to abide, to rest, and to listen, and to be mindful of what the appropriate next step is, and temper my emotions and temper my propensity to hurry up and wait, or to do it outside of the right timing. So right timing is really a key right now, and we have a young lady who has really taken the courageous step in right timing to speak her truth, to speak it into the face of the two-party system, to speak it into the face of the de facto, where we're seeing that as the closer the elections in November roll along for the corporation, the more frenzied, crazy, frenetic, just you listen to some of the legislation that's coming out, you look at what the Supreme Court's ruling on, and it's like, is everybody losing a grip all at the same time? You know, what is the hope? Where is the hope and the vision for our nation? And this young lady has clearly articulated it and been out there in a very humble way, a very simple way. I've had the opportunity of sharing with her before the call, and I've had just an opportunity to get to know her a little better. So I would like to have a close friend of hers in Iowa who has been instrumental in bringing her into the Republic. I'd like to welcome Rowdy Templer to the call. And Rowdy, I'd like you just to introduce Randy to us all, give us a little bit of a backdrop, and tell us how it is that the Republic's been growing and the connections that are happening between people that show up like they do now, where then the press starts to take notice. Good evening, sir.
Thank you, sir, and I'd be glad to, if I may, give a little bit of a storytelling here of how it was that Randy Shannon has come to the position she's in.
Well, let me get my cocoa, and I'll be right there.
And kick back.
Go ahead, sir.
I was invited to an event in Waukee, Iowa, which is on the west side of Des Moines, right on outside of Interstate 80 as it loops to Kansas City. And I was reluctant to go. I used to go with a friend, and things just didn't seem to be working out. But I just felt that this was a place where there would be the right-hearted, right kind of people, pro-life people, and godly people. The event was being hosted by the Faith and Freedom Foundation, and the president in Iowa is Steve Streffler, who hosted it, and also Ralph Reed, who's known nationwide for his conservative positions and pro-life positions, going back to the Christian Coalition in the 80s. So anyway, he was there, as was Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky and Senator Grassley from Iowa and a couple of congressmen, Steve King and another congressman from Iowa. So there was all these people. I anticipated meeting someone that I had talked with before, who was with the Ron Paul campaign. And incidentally, I had been in fervent prayer to have God put before me and bring into this Iowa these kind of people, these right-hearted, pro-life homeschoolers, and also Ron Paul supporters who have the energy and the connectivity of people in their campaign group. I thought this could really explode in Iowa, and if it went this way in Iowa, it could go all over the nation. And as I was looking around at the event for a place to sit down, God just kept focusing me on this one table. And by the way, I didn't know I was going to go there, even when I was, it was 175 miles. I was almost 100 miles and still wasn't sure I was going there. I was thinking of turning back, but I could not turn the wheel. I sensed that God had someone I was supposed to meet. And so I continued. And I picked out a table that I kept coming back to, and I sat there, and across from me was Randy Shannon with a gentleman in between us that I was somewhat acquainted with. And I'd never seen Randy Shannon before, and we got to talking a little bit, and she told me she was running for state senate in Iowa in the 34th district, which I wouldn't know where that was, even though I've been in the Republican Party for years. And I explained to her that she asked if I was running for something. I said, no, I'm in the United States Republic. I serve in Congress here in Iowa. And she said, really? She says, you're the first person I've met in the Republic of the United States. I've seen the website, and I've actually downloaded some things, but I've never actually taken the time to go through it. And so you're the first person I met. And she said that she had signed up online but was never contacted. So I thought this was incredible. And and within about a minute or so, she asked me a very simple question. Of all the people here in this event, the candidates running for office, who impresses you the most? And I brought both hands above the table and pointed at her as if they were six guns directly at her, cocked and ready, and said, blurted right out loud, you, Randy Shannon, are the most important candidate here. You're the most important person at this event. Now, you don't say things like that when you're thinking. If I'd have thought, I would have never said it. But these were God's words that passed my lips before I could respond. And she did not run and burst from the room. She stayed there. And since that time, we talked a little more that evening, and then we exchanged contact information. And I just felt certain that she was that important. But, you know, as I spoke with Judge Gorla on Monday, you know, you think a certain thing might happen. And we did get in touch, and we did meet Monday evening after that Friday night event on the 11th. And then she headed home, and I got on the call and spoke with Judge Gorla and Janine about this Randy Shannon. But I didn't name her because, you know, who knows? Well, on the Thursday following that, which is 6 days later, after communicating with Randy and her being on that conference call Monday night and other calls since then, we met, and she signed the ASR document. And because I was so impressed with her and knowing what God's calling was all about, she went ahead and signed the oath of office for U.S. Senator for Iowa. We had a vacancy that had just occurred. God made room for this special woman to represent him in the Iowa Senate, for the U.S. Senate. And then the following week on Wednesday, 6 days later, she was, after an interview that was rather self-effacing, completely honest, if she would try to derail her own confirmation to the Senate by us in the House in Iowa, the lawful constitutional way to select someone, she couldn't have done a better job of derailing her own candidacy. We, however, confirmed her, as I explained to the members that this is God's calling. And I began to realize what was going to happen was that there was going to be this thermonuclear device detonated in Iowa that was going to shake the entire country. The shockwave would hit everywhere, and the fallout would be people coming into the Republic responding to this opportunity. And I was aware of it as it was happening. And I don't want to steal Senator Shannon's thunder, but she did go to an event. She came back from that event and with great insights now, confirmed her decision to join the Senate, called me and said, "Rowdy, get started on the letter." She says, "You know what letter I'm talking about?" Well, it was the resignation letter. And so I became a zombie over the next several days, spending 50 to 60 hours on it, her returning it to me with some suggested changes. The result was, when I finished, God related to me what it was for, that this was the detonation device. And people would read that document and understand why they were dissatisfied in the corporation or being a small c citizen subject to the corporation. They would understand from that letter what a great opportunity to step into the Republic. And so we can thank God. We can thank Jesus Christ. Randy, Shannon, and I know that they have been participating with us, around us all the time, whether in call or in person, to help this happen. And this is a gift from them for the Republic. And we are blessed in Iowa, and we are blessed in this Republic to have Randy Shannon. Who would have thought that this one young woman would cause such a stir and draw so many to turn to the Republic? This is a cause for rejoicing. And with that, I yield. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, thank you, Rowdy. So what a nice introduction. Randy, welcome to the Republic. I know that you've been on a couple of calls already this week with the Republic, but you've also been out there getting a taste for what it's like in the media. I welcome you to the call. Good evening, and tell us your story.
Good evening, and thank you. It's a real honor to be on this call. Rowdy, hearing you talk, it brings emotions.
Well, they're safe here, so take your time. There's no hurry. I would only ask that you speak into your mouthpiece, because it's a little hard to hear you right now.
It's definitely been an emotional journey, and it cracks me up when I heard Rowdy say, if there was anybody that was trying to derail becoming a senator, I was bucking and kicking, not necessarily against it, just had a lot of questions. And actually, one of the senators did have some questions about me, and very easily could have not been voted, not been selected, could have easily went the other direction. And after I did go to a seminar and learn the history and met with someone from the Republic, his name was Kelby Smith, I actually went up to him 3 days in a row, and each time I talked a little bit about the Republic, and I remember at least one of the days I said to him, maybe it was on, it was either day one or two, and I said, "I'm in a state race, and I'm here for confirmation to see if staying in is what I should be doing, or becoming a part of the Republic is something that I should be doing on a larger scale." And I just, told him that it was for confirmation. It's kind of funny because there's hundreds of people walking up to him constantly. So, when somebody says that, it's probably not really taken too serious. And I'm sure he had a little bit of that deer in the headlight look, like, sure, I hear this all the time. And anyway, what I learned there was very profound and life-changing. forgive me here.
Well, while you kind of gather yourself, Shannon, I just want to say a couple of things that that really shows that you know, we are all the vessel as we take up our place on the stage of life. There are senators from across the republic who have been laying a foundation for an opportunity like this. There's been many of you who have worked for 2 years now, at least, steadfast, working away hours and hours and hours, digging into the law, digging into history, digging into what it takes to create the proper framework. And you have created that framework in the structure that was able to have Randy Shannon selected in Iowa. If this had been according to the de facto model, it wouldn't have happened this way. It's up to the representatives in each state to select their senators, and it's up to them to do it. It's not for something that comes to the popular vote. And so this is a really big step, and it's big for a lot of reasons, because a force like this needed to happen. We've all been working away steadily to we've been waiting for a break in the traffic. We've been waiting for God to show something happening that quickens other people in the republic. And Shannon has been the lightning rod for that to happen. And it's very exciting. It's very exciting because, like all of you, when you, God puts you in a position, you're going, oh, my God, you pick me. You pick me to do this. And you think I've got the wherewithal to do this?
That's
so thanks.
Very, very true, and I thank you for picking up there. I haven't gotten too emotional about this until today, except maybe Friday when the announcement went out, and I was taking quite a bit of heat. That was a rough day, and I did say, oh, Lord, what have I done? Because I do have children. People had reached out, said you've put your family in the spotlight and, you know, talked about safety and things like that. But at the end of the day, the Republic is a peaceful group of people, and I'm honored to be a part of it. I'm humbled to be a part of it. The people that have reached out have just been amazing to me. Even in the darkest hours of this, when I'm taking some of these bullets and my name is being destroyed on the internet, these people with the Republic have reached out to me, and literally at this point, it just bounces off now. It does not affect me any longer. And ever since that night becoming a part of the Republic, it's been a learning journey, and it's been very exciting. I love everything that I'm learning. I joke with Rowdy. There's been quite a few interviews, and it's picked up national and international eyes and ears. People are hearing and seeing this. People are reaching out literally from all over the globe at this point for this call. I won't say who it was, but one of the wealthiest people in the entire world called me literally 10 minutes before this call and said that they liked what I was doing, and that they see big things, and that they know all about the Republic, and they want to talk further. They'll be calling me tomorrow. So this is getting huge, huge recognition, and I just pray that we take this and we run while it's hot, and we share this information with as many people as we possibly can, so that they can understand that freedom is good. Freedom is a beautiful thing. And that we don't have to live under this oppression that we've been living under.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Keep preaching. You're doing good. Go out there. What did you say on the... Okay, so let's talk a little bit. And I know you've recounted it on some of the calls you've been on. But what was a critical mass for you? What did you see? When you said... So you had the calling in your heart and you're going, okay, I want to do something for my state. I want to go out there and I want to become a representative and go to Washington and make a difference. Talk to us about that journey and talk to us about what you discovered and what it was that caused you to go, I've got my ladder against the wrong building.
Yeah, and it was a journey. I was actually working, I was a chair for Ron Paul's campaign because in my eyes, he's the only candidate in the de facto race, the corporation government race, that is actually speaking our language, which is the Constitution. And so I worked on his campaign. I want somebody to lead the country that is going to leave us a country that will actually have something at the end of the day. And so I worked on his campaign. We had a little bit of fraud in our state, but overall the results were livable. And it was that case, that inspiration, just seeing so many people that are hungry for somebody to follow the Constitution. I had so many people urging me because of how ingrained I was in the race, saying, you know what, you should get in, you should run, you know, because of what you believe, because the stands you take for your kids, you should run. And it was thoughts I was already having myself anyway. You know, if you want to get something done, you got to do it yourself, right? And so that's how I thought. So I went online, did some research, found out what needed to be done, got the petition filled out. We needed 100 signatures. We did it all in almost a day. And that was it from that point on. And in that process then of my campaign, I went to the Capitol several times and participated in several gun shows, had a booth there, you know, introducing myself to people. Because in the community, while I've been a business owner, you know, just because you're a business owner doesn't mean that you're well known. I didn't join clubs. I didn't join any groups because I have these four kids. And so between work and kids, that's pretty much what consumed all of my time. During the trips to the Capitol, however, I was exposed to what life would be like as a state senator in the de facto. And I was witness to senators that are already in saying, Don't vote on this because you're up for re-election. So you cannot afford it because we want you to stay here. They would much rather just have the room say, and look, I'm sure it goes for both sides of the fence. It could be just as much for Democrats. I'm sure the same thing is going on. But if they want a Senate majority, then nobody can afford to lose their seat, and they needed to gain more seats, which my race was an important part of that. And so you don't vote for this because you're up for re-election. It's not good legislation. Everybody knows it. But, you know, we need you to look good to the voting public. On the other side, you can afford to vote for this. This will make the Democrat leader happy. And the voters basically are given no credit for memory. And they'll forget about it next year when you're up for re-election. At the end of the day, what I saw is that the voters are the ones who lose. It's just a game. It's a smoke and mirror game, and I came to realize that. And over time, with the different voters that would come out, I talked to so many people, thousands of them, in the course of my run. And there isn't anybody that ever stated, we're happy. Instead, it was, please don't get in there and change your mind. Please don't get in there and let us down. Please don't get in there and forget about us. I heard that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And that's how I have felt. We vote in these politicians and nothing changes. And now I understand why nothing changes. And it's because it's a corporation government and they're running it their way, not the constitutional way. And so, you know, all of this over time, it's a process. This is not an overnight acceptance. Oh, there's a republic and it's the lawful government. That's a hard thing to grasp. I understand why Joe Public out there is actually writing some of this bad stuff because they just don't get it. And they're also getting a mainstream media that's not doing their job. They're not being investigative journalists and actually digging and finding the facts and finding the truth and actually presenting that to the voters so that they can see, hey, we have this and we have this, and this is why. Instead, they print it in a slanted manner. And so we in the Republic will always have this uphill battle because of the mainstream media. Yet another reason to really get the word out about us so that we can establish a different form of media that's not government owned and run. So, you know, these are some of the things. Then we all know the status of our country. We are at the edge of our seats with what's going to happen. A lot of people don't think that the current president wants to leave, and all the crookedness going on in the federal race. And so these are things, these are conversations that people are having, and quite frankly, the country is extremely worried. This is what's coming out of the grassroots. It's the same things that I was feeling. So as I'm at these gun shows and I'm speaking to different voters, whether it's at my business or out in public or at luncheons, I was extremely busy with all these different events. Basically at the end of the day, the consensus is the same. Something needed to change. That's why, for me, the Republic was so attractive, because it just feels, picture the most inviting, warm, sweet thing you could ever imagine. How, you know, whether it's, you know, where you want a vacation, the white sand beach and the waves washing up, that's how the Republic feels to me. It's beautiful, it's clean, it's pure, it's what we want, it's freedom. Nobody likes to be oppressed. And so it became more and more attractive. Rowdy was pivotal in reaching out to, you know, share the information. Going to the seminar that Kelby Smith was at, I on somebody's Facebook page, I saw a video of a senator, I believe it was, down in Missouri. You know, these little bits of information and running into people here and there, that's how I gained the exposure. That's how I started to do the research. And that's how someone like me, just, you know, from small town Iowa, figured out that, oh my gosh, there's another way, and it's a better way, and I need to take advantage of this. And it was a slow process, but it was a process, and that's what we all need to do for people that are out there. I don't get angry that I'm getting attacked anymore. It's bouncing off. I don't get angry because people don't understand. Some of the interviews are pretty tough. They're not so easy, and I joke with Rowdy because I'd like him to be on some of the calls, some of the interviews that I think will be a little bit harder, where maybe the press, that particular outlet, is not friendly, or they have us targeted as being a violent organization or an alternative shadow government, has been stated to me. And Rowdy is so eloquent. I am more of a fireball, super high energy. Rowdy has been grounding me, which has been really nice. And it's great to have him on the calls, because I might go off on something and he brings it right back to, this is what makes sense and this is why. And so it's been extremely pivotal to have him on these calls with me. He wasn't
Randy, I'm sorry. There is something that you are doing that is speaking to all of our hearts, and I hope is a really clear tone to all of our hearts, is each of us can only do what we can do. It is a slow process. It is a gradual process. And we do it from within our own sphere of authenticity, of who we are as a person. And there's so many pieces that have to be put together here. There's so many pieces to build the Republic and to re-inhabit the Republic and to take back the ground that has been taken from us. And so I hope that something that is a takeaway from all of us in the Republic who are listening to you now, and that is, what can I do to move the ball further up the court? What can I stand on? What principle can I stand on from within my sphere of influence that sounds the tone that say, we're not going to put up with it anymore. We see there's a better way, and we're gonna cast care to the wind in one way, and we're going to follow the dream star and follow the vision that we have on the inside, and that gut feeling that says there is a better way, there is a path that those who have courage and those who have tenacity and those who have patience and those who have perseverance will find and will overcome. And it's just so exciting to me. And when we open this up for comments and questions, you have had a team of senators, representatives, executive staff, and interested members coming together on a media policy and working out our response, because we haven't had to face that we haven't had to face the reality that the president talked to us about at the beginning of this year. He said, be prepared. Be prepared for the doors to be stormed down, to have so many more people who are knocking on your door than you can possibly handle. And it's clear to me that you're one of the catalyzers that's setting that in motion. So there's a number of us who are scrambling to put the pieces into place now so that we have a measured tone, an efficient response, and a welcoming ability to have folks come in at their own speed, to learn the information in their own way, in their own season, to offer enough links and resources for people to flesh out the story themselves. The other side of this coin is that some of the media exposure has shown us that we have had a few errors in our presentation, and we've had to go back, and some of you out there are working steadfastly on cleaning up errors. We started with some patriot myths. We have a blend of things that are accurate and things that we're still figuring out what is accurate. So it's actually good. Some of the negative that we're getting is a positive because it's showing us where some of the chinks are in our armor. And that's important because as we get big players and big hitters becoming serious to realize that the Republic is for real, it's a force to contend with, it's a good hope and a future for our country, they're going to want to make sure that the pieces are lined up, that we're not building on foundations which are faulty, or building foundations on sand, but we're really building it on a bedrock of accurate knowledge and godly principles.
Well, I, at the end of my campaign, you know, coming towards the end, and talking with Kelby Smith, speaking with Rowdy on a regular basis, I came to the realization that there was absolutely no way that I could take that oath of office to a corporation government and live with myself with votes that I would be forced to take against my morals, against the Constitution, and against people's rights. There was no way I could do it. There was no way that I could be a part of it. And like Rowdy said, that's when I reached out and said, get that letter ready. And he wrote a one page. By the time I came back at him, we went back and forth, it was a four page. And I do believe that was a blessed letter, that was ordained. I've taken some heat for that, and I'm okay with that because, you know, nothing can take a letter from the Most High down. So I am not going to look back. I'm very excited, and I do want people to know, like you just reiterated, it is a process. I didn't come to this decision overnight. I had videos and things that piqued my interest. That was where it started. And then it was actually speaking to somebody in the Republic. The members of the Republic need to come out of their shells, the ones that are quiet and not talking about it. They should talk about it, mention it, share the videos, get those out there, because that's what will help grow us. And I've talked to people in Arizona and said, you know, I love their website. And I'm out there looking at everybody's websites now and everybody's videos. Nebraska has a great video. And there's plenty more, and I'm not disrespecting you, being disrespectful for not mentioning you. It's just there's some that have really stood out to me. And these are the things that are educating the people. That's what educated me to a point. And, you know, we've got big things to accomplish. We've got a government that we need to make sure that this entire country knows about. So we've got to get busy.
Well, we certainly are, and we have a very busy call tonight. Randy, I wonder, are you available to handle some question and answers when we get to that part of the call?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, take your seat and enjoy the ride, because it's very, very exciting what's happening. And as God knits our hearts together in this republic, I'm seeing that we're accomplishing so much more with efficiency and with it's just great as we're just shaking off the old and taking on the future that he has for us. So thank you, Randy. We're going to move along at this point here. Janine, you've got a land patent story. So you get under the bus right now to tell us your story.
I do. I wish I could actually have Scott and Rose come on the call, but I'm going to share their story for them. They are here in Oregon. Rose works in the Republic Records Bureau with me, and they were the first land patent that we brought forward in Oregon. And the taxes we've sent in, you know, it's seasoned. We sent in the removal from the tax rolls to the county tax assessor. And he's been trying to get a hold of them for a few days on the phone. And they were a little concerned, and they called me and they asked me what they should do. And I said, well, call them back and tell them that, you know, you'll talk to them, but they need to put whatever they want in writing and you'll respond in kind. So that's what they did. But when Scott was talking to the tax assessor, he started asking some questions, and it was really hard not to engage in the conversation. But the tax assessor said to Scott, you know, I own some property over in Washington. I'd like to bring my land patent forward, too. So we were pretty excited about that because he's understanding what we're doing. And he said, you know, I remove property from the tax rolls all the time, but this is just not a form I recognize. So our light bulbs went off, and so they're going to call him back and ask him, what form do you use? How can we make this easier for you? So that it's just a short story, but it's a nice little success story. We had such a good time with this afternoon, and just wanted to share that the tax assessor from the county wants to know how to update his land patents.
Beautiful, beautiful. See, people are getting it. Wherever they're working, wherever their sphere of influence, they notice that our country is out of kilter. And so when you each step up, and of course, Brenda Crater over in Yavapai County has been standing up and got all of her county officials just, drinking out of the milk out of the lap. How does that saying go with your kitty cat? In any case, she's got them doing that. And so if you each go out there, inspire the folks around you, be kind and gracious, and know your stuff. We're moving. We are moving things, folks. We're moving things. It's very exciting. But there is a point here that we need a breakthrough, and we've been asking for a breakthrough. The president has asked for a breakthrough, and that is in the area of our spiritual focus and in the area where we're called to fast and pray.
Robert,
so president,
I am, yes, so sorry. Before we do that, could we bring in Peggy Smith?
No, I'd like to have her hold for a minute. I'm not quite ready for that part.
All right. Sorry.
Sorry, Janine. What I want to focus on here is that there is a spiritual calling that we all have. And if you're not a God person, well, just know that a lot of us in the Republic are God folks. And 85% of Americans are unapologetically believe in God. The bus has been driven for the last while by 15% who are the whiners, complainers, and the atheists. Well, you know, I just read that book, and I've read other spiritual books from other spiritual religions, and I just know that if you don't have a tether to a creator who created this universe, good luck. Good luck to you. So what I'm saying here is that our bodies now, over this last week and a half, 2 weeks, for those of you who are participating in this fast, you will be experiencing some sensations, and you'll be experiencing some things going on in your body that you may not understand. And it's really important as we engage in this battle. Just like, you know, Randy's been talking here, she's been on a lot of radio programs, a lot of call-in programs. That takes a tax on your physical body. Those of you who are in the Senate, in the House, those of you who are on committees from hour to hour to hour, long into the night, you are causing a lot of stress in your body. You're causing a lot of demand on your physical form. So this process of fasting is a cleanse process, and it's a checkup from the neck up to see that you're walking in consonance. Your spirit and your flesh are walking in consonance. So I have invited on the call a number of members of the Republic who are health practitioners. And so I'd like to start with the first one, which is on the President's Cabinet, and that is Dr. Rutledge. Dr. Rutledge, welcome to the call. I'd like you to open up and share your thoughts on fasting, share your thoughts on our topic this evening. Good evening, sir.
Okay, good evening. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me. Before I get into that, I would like to say for Randy that a lot of people are with you and really support you. Mainly, we're all joined together in principle. A lot of us don't even know each other, but what we know is that principle, and that's what drives us. And so I thank you for stepping up to the call. In regard to fasting, I'm in a fasting state right now for 24 hours. I recommend a fast to my patients, generally a 24-hour fast once a week or twice a week. And biblically, fasting was done to quiet the mind, to still the mind, so that brilliance or intelligence or God thoughts or whatever you want to call that, that is always operating as a backdrop, can find its way through so the answer is delivered. I give thee a mouth and a word that they cannot gainsay. So fasting is a way to, physiologically, it just, the body's not digesting food. The gallbladder's at rest. The liver's at rest. The colon's not moving. All those things require tremendous amounts of blood supply. There's a limited amount of blood supply that is within a bodily system, and it requires a lot of blood flow to do that. Well, if it's at rest, you have a lot more blood flow that's available for the brain. That said, in fasting, you want the mind to fast with you in the sense that it becomes more quiet. It becomes still. So it's not thinking the thoughts. It is still so it can hear God thoughts or brilliance. And so, in a sense, it shifts one's thought process to more of a receiver process, which really is what God mind is about, or what having a true mind, if you will, is about, is listening. Listening for the right answer. And that doesn't mean you're sitting around in Buddhist position everywhere, waiting on the answer. No, but what it does do is it helps you just quiet from all sorts of things. And when I say a fast, I mean I've had some coffee today, no sugar, but that's about, I had a few cups of coffee and that's it. One of the things that it also does is it helps one recognize the power of oneness. And what do I mean by that? Well, that food does not have a power over you. In this human plane, do we need food? Yes, we need food. However, it does not become a power so that you can operate, you can do things, you can act, you can do works that you are meant to do. Because you are still and listening for the right thing to do. When you put a power in something else, other in a food, in your pocketbook, or anything else, when you put a power outside of one who is what you are, that is God, then you just started a duet, a duality, a separateness. Two powers, and it's lost from that point forward. So a fast really helps one recognize oneness through stilling the mind so it's a receiver and listening. Now, physiologically, the body, I would say, could probably go 3 to 4 days with no food whatsoever and not cause one problem whatsoever. You start getting out 4 or 5 days past that, you start getting breakdowns and things. And so people that have chronic illness, such as diabetes, severe heart disease or arrhythmias, liver failure or kidney failure, they have to be very careful. I mean, especially if one is on insulin, Can someone that's diabetic that takes insulin, can they fast? Yes, they can, but they have to be very, very careful and check their blood sugars and things. And because if you give too much insulin, it could drop the blood sugar down. So there's a lot of details from that standpoint. But there's been a lot of controversy in the traditional medical field. Many doctors will say that fasting has no benefit whatsoever. And I'm here to tell you, that is just absolutely, positively not the case. There's one thing you can always remember: the skinny rats live longer. And what does that mean? That's really the only proven anti-aging, if you will. And I really don't like the word anti, because it's not a fight. It's age less, if you will. So the skinny rats age less, they live longer, and they feel good. So any time you put things in your body, in a sense, it's a toxin, because the liver has to break it down, no matter what it is, with the exception of water, and the kidney filters the water. So you have to think of things that way. Now, the Daniel fast, I don't know a whole lot about it other than its biblical principles, but more or less it seems more like a, it's a great step. It's a step in the right direction towards a fast, in the sense that if you're cutting out high nutrient-dense foods like dairies and meats and different things that, they can have some benefit, but can have a lot of taxation, if you will, on the body as well. So it's a nice way to just do vegetables. And when you cut those things out, it's not easy at first. I mean, because the body will go through a detox, especially from sugar. And that's the most addictive substance on the planet, bar none, is sugar. A fasting state can be very, very beneficial if you don't know what to do. If you're listening, if you want the right answer and things just are not coming, a fast can be very, very beneficial. And I do it at least twice a week, and sometimes I do a 2 to 3 day fast. Like I said, though, if one goes past 4 to 5 days, in my opinion, they should at least supplement with amino acids and vitamins and different things, because you can start breaking down the body over that time, and that will not give you the best medical outcome, if you will.
Well, Dr. Rutledge, tell us a little about the background of how you come at medicine. Are you allopathic? Are you naturopathic? What's a little of your background for folks?
Well, I'm a little bit of everything. Rolled into one. I come from a naturopathic philosophy. I was trained osteopathically and allopathically. So I got a degree in osteopathic medicine, and then I did a residency in allopathic medicine, so I could get the widest aperture that I could get on my lens. So I could, it's first, do no harm. But then after that, there's so darn many things that are so simple and available that have just been buried due to the latest and greatest thing that's, as a moneymaker or this or that or whatever. Although I love the virtues of allopathic medicine, if you're in a car wreck and you show up in the emergency room, frankincense doesn't have a whole lot of meaning at that point. So, you need a appropriate medical response in that situation. But I can tell you it is very, very limited in their scope and what they do. Allopathic medicine is very, very good at diagnosing disease. Where they fall short, in my opinion, is in the treatment. And they have a very narrow view, in my opinion. Not that it's the person, it's the training. In residency, the pharmaceutical reps were whining and dining us, and so from the medical student standpoint, you go to these things, they give you pens and things you can write on and all this stuff. I do not see pharmaceutical reps. They do not come to my office because I don't write for drugs very much. I mean, some, yes, I have prescriptions, people, and I can write for morphine if I need to or whatever. But what I discovered was there's never been a drug deficiency on the face of the planet. There's all kinds of nutritional deficiencies that have been written up in oodles of journals. And so, you know, I started seeing how if you provide the proper nutrition and detox to the body, it pretty much just heals itself. So that's really my background and where I come from.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to say two things. One is I have had this natural versus allopathic discussion all my life. My mom was a registered nurse, and so she would serve the doctors, and she would get frustrated with some of the ways that she treated the they treat the patients and some of the disregard that they would treat the patients with. And I was always talking to her about natural things. And so all my youth, we would have this backwards and forwards between the traditional Western model of drugs and cut it out, stitch it up, fix it, versus allow nature to work the healing from the inside out. So really, the difference you're talking about is an inside-out healing versus an outside-in healing. Or an outside...
Yeah. When you provide that, and two, and now what you when you get in the realm of healing, then you start bringing in a whole different component.
That's probably a perfect segue to some of our other medical practitioners that we have this evening. So I'm going to invite on that note, Daniel Reed from Louisiana. I want to welcome you on. We had a call earlier this week, and I had the opportunity to share with you and Dr. Liz, and Morley, and we just had a great chat. And I'm just going to open up the call to you to recreate that between introduce your colleagues, tell us each a little bit about your background of how you come to medicine or how you come to health, how you come to wellness, and let's. Focus it on the observation of the Daniel fast and the healings that the body needs and the stamina that we all need who are in this republic for the long haul to lead a balanced, healthy life and also to do the exceedingly stressful things that we're all part of as we work very hard to get our nation back on track and put the structure in place so that others can come along and help us out. Good evening, Daniel. And are you muted by some chance? Yes, you are. Okay, go ahead.
Hello, Robert. Welcome, everyone, to the call. We'd really like to thank Randy Shannon for her efforts and being a godsend to this republic. I myself came to the healing profession, if you will. Someone had, when you enter chiropractic college, you have to state, you know, in written form why you chose to do this. So I had put something down that the president had written me back a letter and said he'd never heard of that. Someone had convinced me that the world needs me more than I need the world. And it was someone who graduated with my sister from a chiropractic college, and we built them a house in Tallahassee, Florida. And I had learned massage and done that from my sister, teaching me how the muscles, you know, go. And had in the military, and had hundreds of people come to my room, and developed, a touch or a knack for it. And he kept telling me, "Look, you have a gift with your hands. You need to go to school." And growing up on a farm, I never really was into books, so I had a We would milk cattle and, hunt and fish and ride horses, and that was much more fun. So at the age of 27, I decided to go develop the left side of my brain. So I went back to school because the doctor, after 2 years of writing and calling me, said, if I go to this college or go check it out, would you please leave me alone? I felt like he was trying to tell me what to do with my life. So I came back and told mom and papa that, just right or wrong, I got to do something with my life. So this is what I will do. And,
well, Daniel, if you can trim your personal story and focus it on the part you've got there that speaks to the issue, because we've got four other or three others of you, And I really want to get into the meat of our discussion here. So would you introduce the others and on topic here that we have for the for what's going on in the body?
Well, the last little bit is why I joined the Republic, just so I could have a say-so in health care. And so Senator Geiger, President Pro Tem of the Senate, had asked me to chair that committee. So I'm chairman of that committee, and we have a panel of guests with us on the phone. We have Senator Hatwan from Nebraska, co-chair, as well as Representative Morley Roberts and Dr. Elizabeth Erkinswick, my sister, from Louisiana, both her and Morley. And we'd just like to welcome them to the call, and they'll go into a little more detail about the physiological and biological effects and concerns and cautions about fasting and the health of the state of the Republic, people in the Republic. Senator Hatwan, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am, Daniel.
I yield the floor to you, sir.
Thank you, Daniel. And before I start, I'd like to extend again my warmest and sincerest best wishes to our newest Senator Randy Shannon in Iowa. It's a pleasure to have you on, and it's awesome to hear your story. I'm grateful to be on the call tonight and to speak specifically to the Daniel diet. And I think a little bit, Robert, you had indicated that some people were having maybe some experiences with coming into this fast, the Daniel fast. And Dr. Rutledge touched on it, and I think I'll touch briefly as well, that when we eliminate the toxic and chemically loaded foods or food-like substances, we will have a craving reaction when those foods or products are gone. It's much like caffeine. If we quit drinking coffee or caffeine-loaded tea, within a day or two, we'll experience migraines or at least severe headaches. The same would be true with sugar, various preservatives, things of that nature. The body will start to crave, and those are some of the reactions that we'll experience. Along with that, when we begin to detox, those processes by which those toxins are exiting our body are going to set up some consequences, diarrhea, malaise, muscle aches and cramps. We might experience dizziness, nauseous reactions. And so we want to be aware of the fact that sometimes our diets aren't necessarily proper. And I like what Dr. Rutledge talked about by way of fasting equals rest. And when we begin to clean up the body, one of the things that I've learned in my naturopathic training and my experience when I work with people is that we begin to eliminate those toxins and we clean up the brain, we begin to be unencumbered. Those toxins really do affect our thinking processes, and they are encumbrances. So just to understand that we push through these things, and if we're having difficulty, always increasing water will help support the process. Morley's going to have some discussion, but I'll briefly resign from the discussion and let Morley come on and listen to what he has to say and the other members, and I'll keep my time open if there's questions.
Very good. Thank you, Patrick. Morley, good evening to you, sir.
Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Very well.
It's an honor to be a part of the call tonight. Let me join the chorus of folks who've tipped their hat to Randy Shannon. Very courageous, very exciting. Let me just point out, Randy, that you have dumped a lot of magnesium this last 7 days, and I would encourage you to up your magnesium supplementation to deal with all the stress that's in your life. Even though it's very exciting and encouraging, you are burning through your minerals at a very rapid rate.
Morley, I wonder if I could just interrupt you for a moment to say, could you check your volume level and where you're speaking from? Because it's a little hard to hear you.
Okay. Is that a little better?
Yes, thank you, sir.
Yeah. I'll just say that I'm new to this. I'm an executive former hospital consultant for 32 years and became a wellness coach about 4 years ago. And I've been, why America has become so weak and sickly,
Janine, are you having breaking
yes,
up for you?
Yes, I'm sorry. It is breaking up, Robert.
Morley, I'm sorry. Your connection's bad. Perhaps you could sign off and call back in.
Okay.
How about Dr. Liz? Would you like to just come on and tell us a little about yourself and what you found?
I'm sorry. Did you were you introducing me, Robert?
Yes, I was, Dr. Liz. Morley has a bad connection. We're asking him to call back in.
Okay.
And I'd just like you to offer up your insights here this evening.
All right. Well, like Randy, I share the motherhood and work ethic, being a chiropractor for 33 years and raising five children. So I understand the changing of hats and how much energy that involves. I've had a lot of opportunity to work with families and especially children and people who are very stressed, and find that they're all hungry for learning how to keep themselves young as long as possible. So that enables them to pay attention to advice on how to eat real food. We find that in working with people, that's one of the things they've lost is the understanding about how to shop and how to cook and how to feed themselves. So we're rearing children on fast foods and not real food anymore. When you stop eating the junky food, as Senator Hat once said, the body does start to cleanse, and each practitioner has different ways that they like to encourage people to assist themselves in the cleansing process. I find that most people don't have good bowel function, and so when they fast or they're under stress, they can tend to have skin breakouts, rashes, and different things like that. One of the things that can really help minimize the problems and increase the magnesium in the body is to use 1 cup of Epsom salt and 1 cup of baking soda in a bath several times a week. That causes people to slow down, because it takes time to have a bath. It's not like a quick shower in and out. And you minimize the exposure to chlorine in the water. But giving yourself time to wind down and reflect is very helpful in healing. Also, skin brushing, using a nice bath brush and brush the skin all over before getting in. That's an Asian technique for helping to improve the resilience and porousness of the skin, and helps the body to detox. So those are several things that anyone has access to. Another is making sure that the water they're drinking is adequately mineralized. We're notorious for not having good minerals in the water, and that's what really runs the body. So we encourage people to use highly filtered water or distilled water and add liquid minerals to remineralize. So that's all I have to contribute at the moment.
Well, thank you, Dr. Liz. It's funny. I have a comment here that is going to really challenge you all, and I have a story with it as well. But the question is this: what does this have to do with the Republic? The last thing I need is for government to tell me how to take care of myself. How would you respond to that, you guys?
Well, if people are demanding that the healthcare system maintain health, and the information that they've been given is not adequate, if it were, we'd all be healthy, and we'd be thin, and we'd be happy, and we'd be prosperous. But the fact is, we're not. So there
well,
must
we're not for a lot of reasons.
Too.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm thinking about here for this fellow who's written in this question, what does this have to do with the Republic? I would suggest to you it has a lot to do with an analogy of a movie that we all saw when we were younger. It was called Luke Skywalker was the main character. What was that? What's it called? Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Star Wars. So what did he do?
Yeah.
He trained. He trained as a Jedi. He trained and trained and trained. And then it came to the battle of good and evil. It came to the battle of the galactic or whatever, and that Death Star. And he had to have he needed to be on his game. He needed to be on his game to do what he was called to do. And no one else had the job, the assignment, to take out that Death Star. And he had to have his wits about him. He needed to have his body in shape. He needed to have his mind in shape. And I would suggest that that's very similar to while we're having a number of medical practitioners and health specialists to help us understand how we can best prepare our bodies, because it's only going to get more intense for all of us. And you either have people falling off just at the time when you need to be right sharp with your focus and your attention and your and on your game, or you're going to fall off the way and you will not have the stamina to make it to the finish line.
It's
anyway, go ahead, guys and gals. Keep your turn.
Robert, may I interject on that just briefly?
You just state your name so we don't all recognize your name, your names to your voice. So sure, just say who you are.
Yes, yeah, this is Senator Hatwan.
Okay.
I like your analogy of being on the game, and I will tell you from personal experience. I'm a high school and college athlete. I'm age 62 right now, so I'm a little bit beyond the competitive years. However, I can tell you one of the things that was critical to being a good basketball player was to have quick reflexes. And I don't know if you've ever dropped your set of keys or if you've had a glass in your hand and you dropped it and you may not have been able to catch it. I can tell you that in the last year and a half, since I've been doing an indirect antioxidant approach, my reflexes are such that I can grab at least two times before anything that I drop accidentally would hit the floor or the ground. And so when you talk about this issue of being on your game and being quick, and what would this have to do with the Republic, by way of question, if we are on our game, we are invincible, not only in thought, word, and deed, but our spirit performs perfectly.
Very nice. Very nice.
Hey, Robert?
Yeah, who's this?
Dr. Rutledge.
Go ahead.
I would say that what health has to do with the Republic goes all the way back to the Declaration of Independence. And that is being independent of a medical system that makes you and keeps you sick and then can control you. If you are independent medically and sovereign medically, you cannot be controlled. And you can think properly, and you can think for yourself and not be led. That's what it has to do with. In the republics, nothing will ever be forced upon anyone, as far as I'm concerned. It is all laid out as manna, as suggestion. This is the way that we have seen. You pick it up and do with it for yourself. If it works for you, fine. If not, fine. But to be independent medically creates a population that cannot be controlled, period.
This is Dr. Liz.
Go ahead.
The Republic is all about teaching people about their freedom, and I would wholeheartedly concur with Dr. Rutledge that financial freedom or personal freedom means nothing if you don't also have health freedom and have health in the first place. I yield.
All right, guys and gals, we're going to put it on a pause here. The president has joined us on the call, and he's the one who called us to the fast, and he's got some things to say. And so I'd like to invite you at this time, Mr. President, to the round table. Good evening, sir. We're having trouble hearing here. Janine, can you check the technical? Hello? Oh. All right. President Turner, can you hear me now? Well?
I'm sorry, Robert. I had myself muted.
Yes, you did, Janine.
Sorry about that. Mr. President, can you hear us?
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Hello. How are you today?
Very well, Mr. President. Well, thank
all
you
right.
for the challenge of putting us on a fast here. And it's clearly opening some doors in the media by the looks of it.
Well, yes, the Lord impressed me to do the fast, and I've talked about it for a while, and I finally determined it was time. And we decided to go ahead with the full 40-day Daniel fast, and it's a little bit difficult to do, but it's very doable. If you follow the steps, it's not that hard. Combining that with my already diet is a little difficult, but because I'm not allowed to eat grains on top of it, so it's kind of hard to find the right foods to eat. But the Daniel fast itself is not really, really difficult. I'd like to take the opportunity to welcome people to the call tonight. I think there are a lot of new people probably listening tonight. And that probably need a little background on what the Republic is about. And, you know, there's been a lot of misconceptions out there in the news media. One is that we're an organization or that we are a movement. That's not the case. We are a lawful government. In 1871, when the corporation was formed by Congress, it was done unlawfully because they didn't come to the people and ask for consent to change our republic to a democracy. It was never asked for by Congress. And the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution declare that consent of the people is absolutely necessary for us to do anything, because there's only one power in this nation under God, and that is the people. We the people. We the people are the power. They are the only authority in this nation. There is no authority in Congress other than the people. They are supposed to be the representatives and the voice of we the people. Congress in Washington has forgotten that. They don't know who they are anymore. They don't recognize the status of the people any longer. And that's the reason that the Washington is the way it is. There's a lot of people go around saying Washington is broken, but Washington is not broken. Washington is doing exactly what Washington was supposed to do when it was created in 1871. It was created by influence of international bankers to take the wealth of the American people, period. Every person that's in Congress and has been in Congress more than one term understands that. Every person. There's not one in there that doesn't. Now, there are some, and I applaud Ron Paul for his stand, because he's taken a stand, and there are a few others in there that have taken a stand. But they cannot accomplish their goal, because it doesn't matter how much you change Washington. Washington is set. It is established on the principles that it runs by, and they can't be changed because you can't get Congress to change them. It is a municipal corporation that was created to fleece the American people from the beginning, and that's what it has done. If you look at the history of the American people and stop and think back a little bit about history, in the 1950s in this nation, one man could work, provide for his family, save money, send his children to college, take a vacation every year off of one income, and provide a nice home, and it was a one income in the 1950s in this country. What happened? Now we have the mother and the father working two jobs sometimes, or overtime, trying to survive today, and they're not able to put their kids through college anymore. They can't pay their medical insurance. They can't pay for their upkeep of their home and their vehicles and all of the things because of inflation, because it was designed to be that way. And there's an agenda behind these things. And I'm not a conspiracy nut. I don't believe in conspiracies. I can prove the facts. I've got the facts. The facts show. The results are proof of what happened. Today, we're in trouble. America's in real trouble. About four years or so ago, a group of people came together and began to start trying to change things. I was one of those people. And we'd been working on this for many years, but we didn't have a central focus nationwide. But about 4 years or so ago, we began to focus nationwide on how to fix the problem. we realized that Washington was unlawful because they didn't come to the people, and they changed our Republican form of government, which is guaranteed by our Constitution. When you say the Pledge of Allegiance, you say the Pledge of Allegiance, and it says, and to the Republic on which it stands. It doesn't say anything about a democracy. Democracy is simply nothing more than socialism, just in a different wrapper. So it is. And ultimately it ends up in socialism with a dictatorship, or at least an oligarchy, and people lose every single time. You can't fix Washington because it's not broken. It's doing exactly what it should do. The only solution in America is to go back to the Republican form of government that we have. If you ever want to be free in this nation again, if you ever want to be prosperous in this nation again, and you want God to bless this nation, you have to go back to the original God-ordained Republican form of government that was established by the founding fathers of this nation. Nothing else will work in America. And if you go back to that, we have a plan. We call it our 10-year plan. Very proud of that plan. And we can turn this nation around. We can reduce the cost of living drastically in this nation by getting away from illegal taxes or unlawful taxes, and getting away from the system that we have today, which is nothing more than a money scam on the people, the revenue agents out here that are picking the pockets of the American people for international bankers, such as the Internal Revenue Service. Internal Revenue Service works for the international bankers, period. According to the Grace Commission report that was commissioned by Ronald Reagan, not $1, and I repeat, not $1 that is collected by the Internal Revenue Service pays for any goods and services in this country. It all goes into the coffers of the international bankers, every single dollar. So people say, well, how are we going to run a government without the Internal Revenue money? Well, we've been doing it all along. We never have had Internal Revenue Service money going to take care of anything in this country. It's all been shipped out of the country to foreign bankers. And it's been that way since its inception. So that argument doesn't hold water. As we say in Alabama, that dog won't hunt. So the bottom line is we've got to get away from the unlawful taxes. What about property taxes? Most of that goes out of the country as well. Some is kept, but most of it is sent out of the country, and that's another unlawful tax. There are many things that we pay. If you do an assessment of your income today, the average American is paying about 70% of their income in taxes, fees, fines, or some kind of charge, surcharges, that are on everything that you do. And go figure it up. Everybody says, well, now I only pay about 25, 30% in taxes. Well, that's just on your withholding from your paycheck. Go look at your cell phone bill. Go look at your water bill. Go look at your power bill. Go look at every payment that you make. Look at every, what about licenses that you have to have? There's driver's license, professional license. All of these things are taxes. Speeding tickets, those are taxes. And I'm not saying that we're lawless. We're not lawless. We are absolutely according to law. But it's time to change America to back what it used to be and put the money back into the hands of the people. The Republic has the ability to make America return it to its proper place among the nations as one of the greatest nations on earth. And if you want to be a part of that, we want you to be a part of it. We need you to be a part of it. We want you to be part of this republic, the greatest movement that has ever been in America since the founding fathers existed and started this first republic. You're a part of it right now by being on this call. And we need you to come and join in, be part of what we're doing. We want you to be a part of rebuilding America because we have the plan. And we have a plan that will work. And it will bless the people in America so greatly, they can't even imagine what it's like living, being free again. You can't even imagine the great things that will come about once we implement the plans that we have. All Americans will be debt-free. All Americans will be prosperous. All Americans will have plenty to eat when they go to bed at night. All Americans will be able to afford decent clothes and housing and health care, and that not only this nation will be blessed, but we will also have surplus enough to bless the nations. And we can do all of this by just installing the proper government and giving back the people what has been stolen from them for the last several generations. And we have the ability to do that with this republic, but we need the support of the American people. You want to know more about the republic? We'll be talking about our website. Go to republicoftheunitedstates.org and do some research. And I'm sure that Janine and Robert will bring you up to speed on some other things out there that you can go research about. But we encourage all of you to come and join us and be part of the greatest movement, the greatest government that has been established since the Founding Fathers. God bless all of you, and that's all I'm going to say. The call's running a little long tonight, so we're not going to try to tie it up, but I will be on listening in the event that you have any questions tonight. And God bless everyone that's on the call and the people that have worked very hard. We welcome Randy with open arms, and we're thankful that she's become a part of our family, because the Republic truly is a family. It's not like a political movement that you've ever been a part of. It is like a big family, and that's the reason, because we're doing this under God's guidance and under God's leadership. We're only 10 days into our fast. We got 30 more to go, and I can only imagine what God is going to do in that next 30 days. But he is going to shake the very foundations of this nation and this world in the next 30 days because of the dedication of the people in this republic, and he's going to do it for the benefit of the American people. God bless you tonight. Thank you for attending the call.
Thank you, President Turner. Janine, I'd like to ask that you go ahead and turn on questions and answers. And for any of you who would like to respond to the president and to the tone of the call, and those of you who are on the guest code, feel free to go ahead and weigh in.
So if you'd like to ask a question, please press *6 on your phone and then press 1 to confirm that you do want to be in the queue.
So, Randy, I'd like to give you the opportunity here to respond to the president and to speak to him personally. I don't know if you've had that opportunity yet, but he's here. So, and you're here. Randy, you've got the floor. Welcome to our president. Welcome
to
you.
Thank you. And kind of a little bit of a funny story. I actually did speak with President Turner. He called me, seems like just a couple days or so ago, and at the time he called me, I actually did have a few minutes to talk, but I was obligated about 15 minutes later to get on another state's phone call. I had been invited on as a guest. And President Turner, he was speaking such profound words, and I was learning so much from our phone call that I didn't want to hang up, but I was obligated to another call, and I said, President Turner, you're the last person that I would want to get off of the phone from, but I'm obligated to this other call, so can I call you back? It's like you get him on the call, and you want to ask so many questions, and you want to get so much information, and he's just so solid on the history, and like I said, full of wisdom, and I was chuckling about it later. Because just how ironic it would be, first time I actually get to have words back and forth with him instead of just speaking or hearing him speak, and I actually had to go. So, President Turner, thank you for your kind words, and I'm humbled at everything that you've said, and I'm just very, very proud to be a part of this, and I just see great things for the Republic, for the people that are involved, and it's the life that we've all wanted to live. It's what our founding fathers gave to us. The corporation government is not what they left us. The Republic is what they left us. As Ben Franklin said, if we could keep it, and we couldn't, apparently, for a little while, but we have it back. And I, for one, am going to take full advantage of it.
thank you for your participation too, Randy. We're very blessed for you to come on board and be part of us, and we welcome you with open arms. As I say, you're part of our family now, and I think that you'll really enjoy when you get involved with the Republic a little deeper. You'll understand. This is a big family. It's not a political movement. It is a group of people who love God and love this nation enough to lay down their life for it, and that's what Americans are about. And we are true Americans. And we believe in our nation, we believe our people, and we believe in our God, and we believe in fairness, justice, and integrity in government. And that's what we are striving to bring back. And we have the plan to do it. We just need the American people's support.
Very good. Monty Olson out of North Dakota, you have the floor.
And Robert, I'm going to set the timer on calls this evening because we've already gone a long call and we have several people in the queue.
Very good. 2 minutes. Good. Monty, good evening, sir.
Yes. First of all, I would love to ask everybody to please pray for me. On Monday, I go before another court system, and the paperwork should have done everything, but I need God's Holy Spirit to do its work also in this case, and I don't want anything out of God's will and timing, okay? I have a question for the doctors about the fasting, and I understand Tim's called a 40-day Daniel fast. Now, after reading several versions of the Bible years ago, I felt like the Lord wanted me to go on a 40-day water fast, and while on that fast, I all of a sudden started having major problems. It felt like something was trying to eat my heart. And I called my mom, who was an active LPN at the time. I called various people, and I ended up calling Bob Rogers, who is a pastor and has had many fasts. And he specifically told me that if I would use V8 juice and clear Gatorade, that I would be able to finish the fast. And I had literally had a pastor try to tell me to get off the fast and others, but I was able to finish the fast. I am not one that loves to get on fast anymore unless the Holy Spirit tells me to, but I understand the significance of them, and I understand the importance of them. And if any of you, the doctors, would love to talk anything about the importance, again, and stressing it, for the safety of the people that go on these fasts to make sure they keep their self into a proper balance, I would appreciate it. I yield the floor, and I thank Randy so much for being able to hear the Holy Spirit and listen and join our Republic. And see you now. Bye.
Thank you, Monty. Any of our medical panel want to make a response?
I can speak to that, Robert, Dr. Rutledge.
Go ahead.
Similar to what I was saying earlier, the body can take a fast, a complete water fast, or no type of sustenance, if you will. In my opinion, 3 or 4 days and tolerate it quite well. I mean, you might experience some detox symptoms for sure off of sugar and dairy and caffeine, as one of the other doctors mentioned, for sure. That said, it's not dangerous. But when you start getting out further than that, which the gentleman actually experienced, the body starts breaking down itself. And that's what was happening. After 5 to 6 days, he was starting to go on reserves. Obviously, he was breaking down fats first, but then it starts breaking down muscle and any other thing else that it can to survive. So the pastor was perfectly right to recommend a V8 juice because it has a vegetable component to it, which is nutrition. And then Gatorade is simply electrolytes and sugar, which the body needs some once you get that far out. Like I said, if someone really wants to do a die-hard type fast like that, past 4 or 5 days, I do recommend supplementing with amino acids and magnesium and nutrition and different things so that the body doesn't break down itself. You know, you're doing a fast to still the body, to quiet the mind so that you can hear that brilliance or, hear God thoughts, if you want to call it that way. But it's not the goal to break down the body. And that's what happens when you go that far out. I yield the floor.
Morley Robbins, I'd like you to weigh in on that as well, build on what the doctor just said.
I'll speak for Morley, not available right at the moment. One word of caution with my experience in working with patients is because we're in such a toxic world that as the fat cells break down, you release all sorts of toxins that are stored there, including any medications that you might have in your system. So you want to proceed with a lot of caution. One more thought and then I lost it. I lost it.
That's okay. Let's move on to our next caller, Janine, out of Connecticut.
Hello.
Good evening. Hi there. You have the floor, sir. Good evening.
How are you doing? This is Steve from Connecticut. I just want to give a praise report. Our recruiting has gone up tremendously within the last 3 weeks, and then just within the last couple of days, we've been getting requests to the national website, and I'm sure it has something to do with Randy, because we've never encountered that before. And I do have a question for Mr. President. Can you go ahead, and I know you've done this before, given the information about how to transfer a case to the Alabama District Court?
Yes, you have to send an email to Warren Palmer and ask for the removal notice. If you can, do we have his...
Mr. President,
how can we get that out? Yes.
I will ask Warren for that, and I will I'll send it out.
Okay, if you will, just send it. We're trying to limit that right now because we have to. We're trying to organize the court. We actually did the first training today down there, and this morning before we left, and trying to get the court established properly. So we're still in the works in the process on that. We're waiting on Congress to also do a couple of things. But we are almost ready to move forward, so I don't want to get covered up with a lot of requests at this point. We already are getting a number of them, but we will be up and running in a few days, and we will be ready to move some cases.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Zulaga and Mr. President, I wanted to share this with you. There was someone who does a program had contacted me before this event, this call tonight. I gave him the archive number so that he could listen in and take notes or record to use this as a basis for his programming. And Janine, and since you, Robert, are on the committee, on media committee, I think this interview with Senator Shannon this evening is going to be one of those that people are going to want to tap into and have access to playback. And if it could be made also in a PDF form, recorded form, that it can be sent out to everybody to share it with others in their email family, I think it's going to be tremendous for the Republic. It was a great testimonial. I think people out there that have been upset with the way things are going, and Randy addressed that, and the pleas of the people, will you remember us when you get into office? Will you really look out for us and not change? Those are the pleas of the people that are reaching out to the Republic right now in droves. The light of sun, the day, is on the Republic now. The lid is off, and everybody's seeing it, and the curtain has been pulled back on the corporation. And, Mr. President, I suppose you're as good as anyone to speak to that. That idea about that curtain being drawn back. We now see what they're all about. They're skeletons and carcasses, and they stink. I yield.
Yes, Rowdy, that's true. The curtain has been pulled back, and exposure has been done. And I can tell you there are many, many international powers that are not happy with what they're seeing. And they are coming against this corporation, and they're going to bring it to its knees. It is in the process at this point, right now, already being done. The corporation will not survive. It cannot survive. It is insolvent, has no cash, has no capital, has no collateral, has no it has no credit or credibility. And a corporation in that condition can only collapse. It has no ability to withstand. It cannot survive. So the corporation is going down, and that's why we're...
Mr. President, just one follow-up real quick. Monday night on our call, I suggested that with this event with Randy Shannon, and thank you again for reaching out, and thank you, Janine, when things were so sad and there was so much coming against Senator Shannon, reaching out to you, Janine, was the right person to call. You mustered the troops. I sent out emails to others, but wow. When the call goes to Janine, the call goes out and results occur. And I really thank you, Mr. President, and I thank all of those that have reached out, and Mark Lounsbery, our Speaker of the House, also. But what I addressed on Monday night is I believe this event with Randy Shannon, which God has orchestrated, no question about it, I believe the funders are now looking seriously at the Republic and seeing that this is exactly what they had in mind. Yeah, thank you. God bless you, sir. And God bless this country. God bless this Republican. Senator Shannon, God bless you.
President Turner, I would like you to direct the whole, our attention, those listening to this call, on the whole issue of recruiting. What do you see? The funding will come in its due season, but it's the numbers. It's the people. It's the recruiting of our neighbors, of our friends, of those in our state. Can you talk a little about that?
Yes, Robert, I'd be happy to. The people need to understand that the Republic was built behind the scenes intentionally, because we have seen many movements come and go and organizations come and go because they tried to go public too early. And as I've cautioned many of us over the last couple, 3 years, we have to do this methodically. We have to do this, and we have to be prepared. We have to do the groundwork. We have to do the lawful steps that are necessary to build a government. You just don't run out and declare that you're a government. There are steps that has to be taken. You know, I've been accused of proclaiming myself as the president. Well, kind of hard to do that when it was voted in 50 states. And by the way, 94% margin of the vote, I think, was probably better than Obama got. But the bottom line is that we did not just self-proclaim that we are a government. We went through lawful steps. We went through procedure. We did much, much research. And we have a very solid foundation. I was in a meeting with the Department of Justice and FBI just yesterday. They absolutely understand what we have done, and they agree that we've done it right. They don't have any issues with what we're doing. They do have concerns because they don't know about the violence part, and I've explained to them many times that we don't want violence. That's not what we're about. Violence cannot win. God told us to practice forgiveness, and when he first told me that, I've explained this before, when he first told me that, I actually literally said when I was in prayer that morning, I said, that's the dumbest thing I have ever heard. You want me to tell a bunch of patriots that hate the government to practice forgiveness? I said that, you know, they don't understand what's going on, and they don't want to forgive. They want vengeance. I said, this is crazy. I said, they're going to hang me, which I don't support violence and didn't support violence even then. But, you know, I understand how some of the people have been abused and how they felt. But, you know, it's amazing. God knew what he was doing. And even though I didn't agree with him at the time, I obeyed and did what he said. And I told the people on the call one night that, and there were thousands of people on this call, and told them that God told me in prayer that we had to practice forgiveness for those who had committed offenses against us. And many people were very abused by the system. And I just knew I was going to cause a firestorm, but, you know, there was only one complaint out of all of those thousands of people that were on that call. There was only one person that complained. And that night I realized that the people were really ready for true change. And it doesn't have to come through violence. It doesn't have to come through the gun. We don't agree that violence can change it. Violence will get you change, but it won't get the change that you want. We don't have to do it that way. We can do it God's way. What weapon is there that can be formed against forgiveness? There's nothing there that you can defend against. So it was one of the greatest weapons in the end that God could have ever given us, and I didn't recognize it at first, but that's how we learn. And he taught me some valuable lessons during that time. So we practice forgiveness and peace, and that's how the republic will be built, is on peace and forgiveness. It will not be by a gun, cannot be by a gun, and cannot be done by violence. If you resort to violence, you'll lose. Now, I will say that I believe a man has a right to protect his family. I absolutely agree with that. We have the right to bear arms. That's a Second Amendment right. And I agree that you have not only the right, but the duty and obligation to protect your family from someone breaking in and harming you or your family. But that's a different story than trying to take up guns against the government. That's not the same thing. So, you know, we need to understand that, you know, although we have the right to bear arms, we have also the right to go to peace. And that's the way that we chose to do, was do this peacefully. And as a result, the blessings of Almighty God are upon this republic. And who can argue with that? We were hesitant to get too much in the media with this for a long time because we were not there. Today, we are there. We have built a government. We do have a lawful quorum. We can pass legislation. And we the people. We have lawful authority to do what we're doing. But it was a process that has taken us over 2 years to build. And so, you know, that's the reason we've been hesitant to get in the media. But now's the time, folks. It's time to pull. The lid is off. The can of worms is open, and they can't put them back in the can. And it's time for us. It's time for us to stand up now and proclaim loudly that we are the republic. It's time for us to start recruiting people and bringing people into this republic. There's a huge amount of interest. We had millions of hits on our website in the last week, and we need to start recruiting these people because they need to be part of us and we need them to be part of us. So it's time to go ahead full bore and start recruiting people into this republic. And how are you?
Thank you, sir. I'd like you to talk also. Well, let's take a few more questions, and then I'd like you to talk about your tour.
Robert, if I may, there was one point the president made I could address to very quickly, please.
Rowdy, I really want to get on to letting some of the folks that have not had an opportunity yet to participate.
I understand. This is a key point the president made that was addressed today by Randy Shannon, if I may. Mr. President, Randy Shannon was on a talk show with Governor Mike Huckabee, and he was giving her a hard time. And he was questioning her about the people of the republic following the laws that are of the land, which are the corporations. And so Randy Shannon was doing her best, but then the question came up about violent overthrow, and because of what we being part of the republic. And so he was baiting her, and I was praying hard, and Randy Shannon rose to the opportunity, and she stated that no, we are not looking for violent overthrow. This is a peaceful organization, and she asserted very firmly, I have not heard from one person in the republic, anyone, talk in terms of violence against the United States Corporation. So this moment was hammered home by Randy Shannon. God was with her, and what a great statement for everyone to hear around the republic. She is there for us.
The thing is that the corporation, those people are people of America too. They're our brothers and sisters. I mean, we want to educate them and bring them into peace and prosperity as well, because they don't like what they're doing either. So let's give them a better way.
Thank you, sir.
They're our brothers and sisters in America, and we want to bring them into this as well.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Well, we're not a chairman. This is the roundtable. We don't have the same protocols that you have in the House. So,
thank you, Robert.
Very good. Okay, Janine, who's our next caller in the queue?
Robert, we're going to go with Stacy White. I'm not sure where Stacy's from. 816 area code.
Good evening, Stacy.
I'm out here in Kansas City, Missouri. I wanted to say, first of all, thank you all for your combined efforts. I am a new member to the Republic, but I must say everything you guys are doing, from the conference calls to putting out press releases. It is appreciated because I haven't met anybody in the Republic further than the people in my community, and I must say it's a wonderful representation of all of those in the Republic, and I'm thankful for that. But one thing I did want to speak to, as far as recruitment goes, there really isn't much literature we can hand out to people. I was wondering if maybe someone could just do just a PDF file and post it to the webpage of just, you know, 10 quick facts about the Republic, what it is, defining the de facto for people who are laymen and who are within the American citizen system, just so we can simplify and clarify as opposed to just sending them to a webpage or giving them information we knew off the top of our head, maybe something we could organize so we could have pamphlets that we could print out ourselves and just hand out to people. But that's just my suggestion there.
Well, thank you.
Good
so
idea.
Much. Are you volunteering?
I can volunteer for that. I can do that.
Awesome, Stacy.
All right.
Stacy, you put it together and send it to me, and I'll send it out.
All righty, I'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you, Stacy, for coming on board and being a part of the Republic.
Glad to be a part.
Thank you so much. All right, Janine, let's go to our next caller.
I have a cell phone in Florida.
Yes, the area code is Florida. My name is Terrence Adams, Republic of Tennessee at Chattanooga. My concern, and the president was just going over it, the Hamilton County Commission, Hamilton County, which is Chattanooga, debating that they can say prayer before they conduct their business. And I called into a radio show and claimed that that's just a facade, a fake thing they do to pretend legitimacy, because once they say their prayers, they go on ahead and force people to purchase and beg for permission to sustain their lives. And the talk show host said, "What planet are you on?" So it's the ignorance of the American people that is our greatest handicap, I would say. My question for the president would be, with the difficulties of the parallel existence, and if the republic is established, should not the republic be able to seize, as peacefully as possible, the 10 square miles and dissolve the corporation District of Columbia? And I'll hang off and listen.
Those are matters for Congress to decide, but the 10 square miles belongs to the International Monetary Fund. It was deeded to them under the Bretton Woods Agreement back in 1944, I believe it was. But anyway, there's going to have to be negotiations probably to repurchase that back or at least make some kind of deal to get it back. I don't know, maybe a treaty or I'm not sure. But there's going to definitely have to be talks and negotiations over the district when that time comes. At this time, really, I don't really want the district back at this point. I think that that's where the corporation needs to stay until they're completely brought to till they're closed. I think that it's not going to be us that closes the corporation. It's going to be international powers, in my opinion. I think we'll ultimately bankrupt it and put it out of business, because it has stepped on every nation in the world it ever had a chance to step on. And most of the nations of the world despise the corporation because of their failed fiscal policies, and they never honor a treaty. Their word is no good, so they don't have very many friends around the world. Thankfully, that most of the people in the world understand the difference between the corporation in Washington and the American people, and they know the difference between the republic. In fact, the comment that I normally get from heads of state around the world when I talk with them is that it's about time you guys did this. You're only 20 years late. That's what they tell me. So people around the world know more about the Republican form of government than we do here, our own people in this nation do. But we are, as far as taking back Washington right now, I honestly, before I would even occupy Washington, to tell you the truth, it would have a very good cleaning as well as a exorcism before I would even occupy the White House.
Very good. Thank you very much. Very insightful question and comment, sir. All right, Janine, who's our next caller?
Minnesota cell phone, you have the floor.
Hello?
Hello,
yes.
Good evening.
Yeah, hi, this is Rose from Minnesota. And I want to get back to the health and I want to get back to the health and wellness part of the call.
Okay.
I have been educated by many companies about glyconutrients and antioxidants and all of the things that our bodies need for health and wellness. And I just want to be a part of Republic. I am a part of Republic. I am, you know, I am in the Republic, but I want to be more in the health and wellness area. And I don't know how I can do that because I want to just share what my knowledge is in so many arenas. So that's where I'm coming from right now. I want to know who I can contact, who I can talk to. I know about so many good things in our world for us. So that's the reason for my being here right now.
Thank you, Rose. Who would like to, who of our medical group would like to comment for to Rose? Oh, I'm sorry, I muted you, Morley. I apologize for that. There you are. You're live.
I'm not Daniel sure they're hearing you.
Daniel Reed, can your team over there hear us?
Can you hear me, Robert?
Now I can, sir.
Yes, I would like to encourage the caller, if she's in the Congress or the House, or would like to be a guest, she could get in touch with the. I'm the chair of the Health and Wellness and Aging Committee, so I'm sure Janine could maybe connect us if you were interested. And would Senator Hatwan be on the phone also?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to respond to her question, Senator Hatwan?
Well, Rose, it's a pleasure to have your interest, and you're more than welcome. Are you an elected member to the Senate or the House?
Not yet.
Okay. It would be wonderful to have you come on the calls and participate. If you have input, we could have you on as a guest. And as you move forward, maybe you'll be seated or have maybe an executive appointment, and we could seat you on the committee, but we'd be more than willing to have you come and participate, lend with us your knowledge and background, your experience. Be more than happy to have you do that.
Okay.
And I think that Janine could provide you, if you would just want to email Janine, your request for the health and wellness call number and code.
Okay.
Okay, and our calls are on Thursday nights, 6 o'clock Central.
Okay, 6 o'clock, okay. And what? How can I get a hold of her, Janine?
Just email her.
My email address is rrb, that's Romeo Bravo, .admin@republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Senator Hatwan, I would like you to elaborate just for a moment. Everyone, we had a call, health and wellness and aging call right before this call, and it was very exciting. Our guest is looking at the Republic strongly. I think that he's going to be a very strong asset to our Republic, and his name is Jeff Green. Senator Hatwan, would you give him just a moment of your thoughts?
Yeah, thank you, Senator Reed. Tonight on the Health, Wellness, and Aging Committee, we had Jeff Green. Many of you are aware of the Fluoride Action Network. It's a group headed up by Dr. Paul Connett. He's brought tremendous awareness to the nation about the issues of fluoride and the dangers of fluoride. I think he's a pretty good advocate for adversarial approaches to city councils and maybe state legislatures. Jeff Green takes a little bit of a different tack, and I would encourage all of you, if you have an interest in how to approach this fluoride question, go to YouTube and type in the search engine Jeff Green, Dr. Mercola interview. There's a 1-hour and 23-minute video. Watch it. Jeff gave us a very, very compelling discussion about how not to have to defend as anti-fluoride people the position that basically is indefensible. But if we get people to be interested in clean water, healthy bodies, we present those by way of question, and people naturally, by their own inertia, their own desire, will willingly seek out information about fluoride and then find the dangers on their own. So they self-educate. And that was the prime theme behind Jeff's work. He's also involved in some litigation with various entities around the United States and has had very successful results. He'll also be the first to tell you that he's had some setbacks as well. But I think overall, Jeff Green's approach, his background and his knowledge are superior to anything that I've seen so far. He lives out in California. If you watch the video, there's a website and an 800 number if any of you are interested to get in contact with him. He provides that on the Mercola interview.
Also, Senator Hatwan, if I could give out the number, the Health and Wellness and Aging callback number, is very valuable information this evening that would bless the nation, I feel. It's area code 712-432-1085, and the code is 209-010. Again, the code 209-010. Pound. Thank you. Are you?
Thank you, Daniel. Our next caller is out of VA, Virginia. Hi, Joseph.
Yes, this is Joe Orlando. I serve as the Secretary of Agriculture in the state of Virginia. And,
Joseph, we're having a little trouble hearing you.
Oh.
Maybe a little closer
better?
To your phone or your mic.
Is this any better?
Just a little.
We'll work with it. Go ahead, Joseph. What's on your heart?
Okay. Well, to Randy Shannon, I would like to say you're a bright and shining light on the spirit of the Republic. I caught an interview with Josh Polly, and I would like to recommend to everyone on the call to see this interview. You can see it at Republic for the State of Florida. And it's a very good interview, and she did a great job. And for you, Janine,
yes.
I would like to say I was on your email list, and I was getting regular emails from you, but there's not coming.
Are you not
like
getting emails
that.
Now? Okay.
Right.
We've had some challenges with our email, but we are getting ready to move over to that new server, and that should solve a lot of problems. So, but I will make a note to make sure you're on my list, Joseph.
Okay, thank you.
Joseph, a sure way of being on that list is to just send a note to questions at the Republic and say in there include on email list, and you'll get on it. We've had multiple difficulties, but we won't go into them tonight. Just do that. If you're not getting them now, just do that.
You can.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Robert,
this is
an excellent opportunity to let everyone know that if you're not receiving emails about the roundtable call and would like to, you can send that request into questions. That's questions, plural, at republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Now, Joseph, to your point, I'd like to ask Randy. Randy, you were on a call today with on some other media. Can you give out where that is available, where those replays of your talk are? Or will they just show up in a while?
Today's interview was with Mike Huckabee, and he has a website. I believe it's mikehuckabee.com. From there, you can get linked. It may actually be right on his site direct. He has a link that says radio, and it should take you right to it. And they gave me the link specifically, which I'll get that out. In fact, I'll send it to you, Janine, and then you can disseminate it since you have everyone's email. It was about 13 minutes, I'm going to guess, is about how long it was. And if you go directly to his site, it was at about 2:30 in the afternoon Eastern time. So
very good. I'm glad you got a link. I went to his site the other day to look at it, and he gives these 2-minute sessions or little speeches every 3 times a day, and I couldn't find any of his programs. So that'd be great. Thank you so much. All right, Joseph, did you have any other points you wanted to make?
Nope, that was it. Thank you.
Thanks,
sir.
Thank you, Joseph.
Janine, our next caller.
John Tillman, 228 area code.
Yes.
Good evening, John.
Good evening. I wished I had the words that were sufficient to express my great love and admiration for this republic, especially for Tim Turner, who one day I hope to throw a cast net. Tim Turner, you appreciate that, I'm sure, but I would just like to say that more than anything else, and though I don't have the words to express my great love and admiration for what's going on here for Randy and those who have joined us tonight to just talk over some things that greatly concern each one of us, I know this more than anything else, that I wish no man ill, but I certainly seek for the only true liberty, freedom that can be found, and that's in Christ, and that he might bless our future as we endeavor together to make sure that everyone has the ability and the joy and the happiness to sit under their own fig tree and enjoy the blessings of God, and wish no man ill, but only freedom.
John, I'm sorry you faded out there in the last part. What state are you calling from?
Mississippi.
Mississippi. Bless you. Absolutely bless you. You have exactly the right words. That was well said.
Thank you. It was really well said.
It's a privilege.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Jim Carpenter out of Colorado, Lieutenant Governor. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Robert, Mr. President. I just called to share a blessing with you, Mr. President, in particular. I can remember some months ago you said that the funding and things could have happened, but they were going to allow things to get a lot hotter to soften people up more. And then a few months back, Lord impressed upon me his conversation with the Israelites to go into the promised land. And they came back and he said, no, there's giants over there. And God said, I'm telling you and the Republic the same thing. Just go inhabit the land. Let me worry about the giants. And then a few weeks later, Mr. President, you again stated that the Lord had talked to you and told you to stand tall, stand strong, and stand united. And then I see Randy Shannon. Go ahead, sir.
Cannot hear.
I'm sorry.
Governor, we need a little closer to your mic, please, Governor.
Is that better?
No, but just speak as loud as you can, and we'll work with it.
Sorry about that. Anyway, Mr. President, with the signs and the blessings that the Lord is showing us and giving us clear signals with the direction, you know, he brings Randy Shannon in, and I thank you, Randy, for standing up for what you believe and standing strong for what the Lord has led you into.
Thank you.
And what I really want to share with you, the point of all that lead-in, was that the day after FoxNews.com made you the front page, the next day they published a poll that showed that two-thirds of the American people, according to their poll, knew the problem was the government.
Yep.
Now, two-thirds represents a quorum, am I mistaken? We have a quorum, my friends. What's holding us back is my question.
Great. President Turner, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Robert. Yes, there's nothing holding us back. We're moving forward rapidly. We have been becoming more assertive because we now have, as ever since we got our quorum that we told you we needed of the states, and a documented quorum of the people in the Republic, in Congress, to move forward, where we could actually show, if when we're questioned, we do, actually do have the numbers, we do have the people to make this happen in all the states. So once we got that, then it became time for us to move forward more assertively, not aggressively, but assertively, and it's a big difference. So we need to make sure that we stay on point, that we direct people to the Republic, that we get out and let people know that we're here. It's time. We have been hesitant to do that because we were not ready, but now we are, and we need to move forward. But I believe I've been telling you guys for about a year that the tidal wave was coming. It was coming. The Lord revealed that to me a year ago. There is going to be a tidal wave of people wanting to come into this Republic when they discover how far advanced and how well organized we really are. They're going to be part of this, and that's what's happening now. And the lid is off. Now, I also told you about the saber rattling. I told you a few weeks ago, the Lord revealed to me in prayer that there's going to be some saber rattling. So you're going to see some, but don't let that disturb you. We've got to go and inhabit the land, just like he said. We need to work on our land patents. That's a very key issue to inhabiting this land, is the land patent. If you don't know what a land patent is, you need to pay attention over the next just days. We're going to be making some announcements about the land patent stuff, and we're doing some revisions to it, and we're making it more user-friendly, and we're going to put it out there for the people. If you need to pay attention, owning your land is very critical. These are some of the things that we're moving. We're going to become more and more assertive with these things because they're very important to founding this Republic and setting the people of this nation free. So we are moving forward.
Thank you, Mr. President, for your response. Please forgive me for my communication skills. That question, yes, sir, that question was meant for you personally, as for each and every one of us in an introspective thought. God has now shown us that he has delivered us a quorum. What is holding us back except fear itself, my friend?
That's it. And there is no fear. We have no fear. We serve the most powerful force in the universe, and that's Jehovah God. And this Republic has his seal of approval on it. This is his Republic. And I can tell you, he will bring it fast.
You know, Jim, when you say what you say, what's holding us back, I'm reminded of scripture where it says, stand and occupy until I come. And it's much like it is in an army. We are all of heaven is moving to move forward God's plan to put our planet back in his hands, where all on the planet reverence God in whatever form they perceive him to be, and where governments reverence God and do not try to take him out of the social lexicon. So that standing and occupying until I come, is the sense I have of it, is be ready, because circumstances are happening just like they did this week with Randy, where God is opening the door. There's little trigger points that are happening across the planet, and if you're keeping your eyes and your ears open, then it's like, just hold your ground. Hold your ground. Don't be afraid. Exactly correct. And just watch the Lord deliver each of us from our circumstance, whether it's a health issue, whether it's a foreclosure issue or a legal challenge on something in the court system.
You're so right. And each and every one of us just need to be open to the opportunity that God gives us. And not to be boastful, but God, for his reasoning, put two people in my path in the last 2 years. Both are professional people within the de facto system that know it well and know the corruption. and have signed on with the Republic and are just chomping at the bit to get ready and to get on with their profession for the benefit of the Republic. And it was all because, you know, taking advantage of those opportunities that God brings us. And so that statement was meant for a challenge and an encouragement that God's delivered us a quorum. And we need to go out there and be his disciples and people to reap the harvest. According to Fox News, we've got a quorum, 2/3.
Amen. Well said, brother. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Michael Conley, out of area code 405. Are you, what, in California?
Hi, it's actually Betty Conley.
Hi, Betty.
I have a message for President Turner. And I needed to speak with him in private.
Okay.
This would be from the governor for the Republic of West Virginia.
Okay.
He's unable to get to the phone.
Okay.
Mr. President, I have that number, and after this call, I could arrange to connect you.
Okay. Okay, please do. Right after the call, we'll do that, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty.
Thank you.
Nelson Scott, out of Colorado. Good evening.
Yes, hello. Good to hear from everybody there, Mr. President. I feel so good about everything that's going on, but I have some simple questions this time. Do with answer, and you, what is the best antioxidant menu, and for how long should it be on, or should it be a continued thing or not? Another question I have is
Nelson, can you, or Scott, can you hold a second? I didn't hear your first one very clearly. Will you restate it, please?
I didn't either.
Okay, the first question is, what is the best antioxidant menu, and how long should this menu lasts if it's not something continuous?
Okay, hold there for the moment. Doctors and medical practitioners, what is the best antioxidant regimen, and how long should one be on it, and how long should it last? Does that sound correct, Scott?
Yes, that's closer than I had it.
Robert, Pat Hatwan here.
Pat, go ahead, sir.
The answer is a little convoluted. I'll boil it down as quickly as possible. Foods are direct antioxidants. That means that they work one molecule of antioxidant support to one free radical, done. When we look at powerful antioxidant support, we look to herbals. And we look to the blended herbals so that they'll work at the level of DNA and gene expression. And we're calling those indirect antioxidants because they work inside cellular structure. And what they intend to do, or what they're designed to do, is to increase the body's production of glutathione synthase, catalase, and superoxide dismutase. The superoxide dismutase combined with the glutathione will effectively eliminate 1 million free radicals per one antioxidant molecule every second for 13 days before it's used up. The body has roughly 300 sextillion free radical hits per day. You must also understand that you have to have a good mineral support to work with herbal formulations. In all herbal formulations, you'll notice if you go to any herbal medical books, you will see that the drivers behind them are always nutrients. And so if you're getting good whole foods, you will be mineral deficient, you will be phytonutrient sufficient, but you'll need to supply a mineral supplement. And generally, the primary mineral would be magnesium. In almost 95% of the cases, magnesium is a driver behind herbal formulations. So the answer...
That's a 5,000 foot look, Scott.
This is Dr. Liz. I would chime in that some simple antioxidants would be blueberries, which are accessible for everyone. In the frozen state, you can put it in a smoothie, and green tea. I yield.
Okay, got that. Thank you so much for that, my lovely wife, Biddy. Jeff Green, what is email? We didn't quite get it all written down. Is it possible to get that?
Yes, it is. It's greenjeff@cox.net.
Greenjeff at what?
Cox, C-O-X, Charlie, Oscar, Zulu. Or excuse me, X.
X-ray.
X-ray. I lost that one. Thank you.
No worries. I'm going to yield questions. You got it all, honey?
No.
Oh, you didn't get it all?
Thank you. Thank you, Nelson. Nelson, is it Nelson Scott or Scott Nelson? I just haven't got this straight.
Well, usually any way I'm looking, it's Nelson Scott. Sometimes people turn me around. Nelson Scott is the right way.
All right. I've got it. I got it for next time. My apologies for my apologies, Mr. Scott.
No worries. I'm still a patriot, whatever you call me.
Okay. All right. Our next caller then is anonymous. Good evening. Hello.
Hello. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
All right. My name is David Custer. I'm from the Free Republic of Missouri in the county of Lincoln. And I'm a sovereign republic citizen for the Republic for the United States for just 1 week now. But thank you.
Good for you. Yeah.
Well, I count it a blessing. I've been serving my Lord Jesus Christ for most of my life, but now I'm actually finding a de jure government that wants to have leadership that does the same. That thrills me to no end. So I just wanted to get that out there first. But I have a question and that I kind of wanted to direct to Senator Shannon and President Turner, both, if I could. First a statement to preface it. I'm currently active in a campaign in the de facto government for a township committee that for four precincts of voter running in the Republican Party here in Lincoln County, Missouri. It's a non-governmental position, but it's a very centered, powerful center of influence where I'm going to be talking to quite a few voters and people in the area. However, I'm kind of at a macro level crossroads that Randy Shannon found herself just recently asking myself, do I really want to pursue this in an election that I'm probably going to win by a landslide, but now I'm finding myself wanting to really serve people with the Republic. More than anything, I feel that God's tugging on my heartstrings in that area, but yet I don't want to jump into something like this unprepared and not, you know, really have God leading me and guiding me. But I'm kind of there with that, and I really strongly want to be used of God to do this, and I really do feel God's hands on it, like I've heard President Turner say several times. I really feel that God's moving and is looking for people to actively get involved and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit when they're calling them. So maybe I'm just looking for some advice from either Senator Shannon or President Turner on, you know, how to somebody like me that's at that crossroads try to get more involved.
I'm happy to jump in there if you would like, President Turner.
Sure.
Okay. What was your first name again, sir?
It's David.
David. Okay. This is Randy. What you just said was absolutely what I went through, and if that was the one thing that I was arguing with the most. Was, but I'm in this to fight, but I can win this way. I can win the battle this way. I can do some good this way. And I had to come to the realization that I, too, the numbers were in my favor to win a state Senate race where I could have had, if I'd called a press release, all cameras would have come running. Anything that I would have said, I had the platform to do it. And I came to the realization that that would have still, no matter what, at the end of the day, been 4 years of total frustration. And what really solidified it was getting the information, having the conversations, reaching out like you're doing right now. And, you know, I don't know how long that seat is, if it's 1 year or 2 years.
2 years.
4 years. Okay. You will be able to have small victories through the de facto, but you will be able to have large victories and affect so many more people through the de jure. And if
I believe this republic wants to serve the kingdom of God and the American people both, and that's why I'm at the crossroads that you are at, Senator Shannon. I really do believe that.
And I feel your pain. I was there, and I would be more than happy to talk to you. I know this call has gone long. I would love to talk with you after we're off of this call and address every scenario, every which way. Are you on Facebook at all?
I certainly am. I've actually liked your campaign page. I just didn't know how to personally talk. Actually, I asked Josh Talley to have you get a hold of me a few days ago, but in light of the national news and all the attention you're getting, I can certainly understand why you haven't had a chance to get back to me. But thank you for your offer. I'd feel blessed to talk to you after this call. Absolutely.
Just send me a private message on the Iowa Senator page.
Yeah, can I get something to write down that exact contact information here though, really quick? Just a moment. I don't wanna mess that. Just a moment. If I hate to tie up the line here, I'm just trying to get a pen or something.
Well, you go get a pen. We'll take the next caller, and then Randy can give that out, because I'm sure there's other people who would like to have an opportunity.
Sure, thank you.
All right, go ahead, Janine.
Our next caller is Governor Dan Owens from Indiana. Welcome, Governor.
Thank you, Janine. Just like to, again, like others, welcome Randy, and really appreciate the courage that you've shown and taking this stand. Would like to
Thank
get
you.
The same information that they were talking about, because I would like to see if you would be interested in coming on a call, an assembly call, in front of our assembly.
Yes, I would be more than happy. That information is facebook.com/Iowa Senator.
You want to give it one more time, Randy?
facebook.com/Iowa Senator. And if you just pop me a private message there, I'll get back to you. Probably not tonight, but tomorrow.
Yeah, that's fine. I realize you're very busy. So, and actually, I was wondering to know, I don't know if Rowdy's still on the call. Actually, wanted to see if maybe you and Rowdy would be available for that call.
I'm guessing I can force him to.
Governor, I'd be happy to participate.
Thanks, Rowdy. I haven't talked to you for a little while. I know you've been pretty busy.
Yes, sir. And Randy, please three-way me with the gentleman that just called about the office that he's seeking. I got to say something on my heart. I want to share it with him in private.
Okay.
All right. Definitely.
I yield the floor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan. Our next caller is out of South Dakota, Duke Leroy. Hi, Duke.
Hello. This is Alan, actually.
Oh.
Anyway,
hi,
I would like to talk to one of your medical practitioners or any one of them. I'm a severe diabetic, have been for 40 years, and I have problems with lows a lot of times. And I was wondering about this Daniel diet. What are their recommendations?
Ladies, gentlemen.
This is Dr. Rutledge. I can take that to start with.
Thank
you. Sure, go ahead.
Well, with the Daniel diet, you will be getting a good many vegetables. Generally, depending upon the vegetables that you pick, they don't spike the glycemic index that much. What I would recommend to you more than anything is to really check your blood sugars tightly, probably 4 times a day in the beginning, just to be sure that you're not dipping into too many lows. And what you might find is you have a much less insulin requirement. So really it just gets to picking the vegetables and things that are going to work with you in the fruits within the Daniel diet, and then just checking your blood sugar very closely.
Well, I tell you what, sir, I already do it 6 times a day because I'm that severe. And what I was wondering, what do I do about my long? I take 2 different insulins, a long acting and a short acting. The long acting is for a 24-hour period. The other one is for every 4 hours thereabouts. And I was wondering, how do I go about reducing the long acting one? Do you have any ideas?
Well, again, that's really a personal thing, and you just have to watch the blood sugars. And then a great slogan within the medical field is start low and go slow, meaning don't make any drastic changes to your regimen, but you do have to base it upon the blood sugar for sure. And there's minerals and nutrients and things that you can do and take, and some of the other practitioners can speak to that. But more than anything is very, very tight control and watching what you're putting in. And then once you kind of get an idea of what you are putting into your system and what it's doing, you'll learn more and more about your incremental drops of what you would need to reduce the insulin requirement.
May I say one thing? I do realize that, and I've figured this out, took me a long time to figure it out. You know, all this insulin doing this is you bring it up, drop it down, bring it up, drop it down. That's all you're doing. You're not, they don't say so much about keeping a level keel through the day.
That's very true. I'll tell you a very, very short story because we're limited in time, but I was just visiting some family in Louisiana, and I met a woman that had just gained 30 pounds. And I said, well, why, what is going on? She said, well, they just diagnosed me with diabetes, and they put me on insulin. I said, well, if you'll follow this diet right here, I gave her a dietary plan, just a simple PDF that I sent her. Long story short, she's off insulin, and she's lost the 30 pounds, and that happened in 3 weeks. So you really have to look at the intake. And what she told me, she said, you know, I went to classes and they told me to eat all these things. And she actually was going to classes that were prescribed to her by a doctor to teach her how to be diabetic. So you just really have to look at the nutrients and the nutrient factors and density and things. And it's a little out of the scope of on this call right now, but I'd be happy to talk with you any further. And Janine can set that up. I can help you in any way. And I'm sure any of the other practitioners here would do that too.
Okay, I thank you very much, sir. And Janine, could you give me his address?
You can actually send an email to me, and I will forward it on to Dr. Rutledge.
Okay, questions that?
Well, it'd probably be easier that questions goes to Robert.
Okay.
And Robert, unless you want it, that's fine. Or you can send it to RRB, Romeo,
yep.
Romeo, Bravo. admin@republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Okay, Janine,
thank
I think...
Thank you very
I,
much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much. Janine, I'd like to do a PSA at this point. I realize before the end of the week that our president will be visiting the folks up in Colorado. Can we take a minute and talk a little about that, please?
Yes, he is going to be in Colorado Springs. Mr. President, I believe your event date is on Sunday the 22nd. And we generally, 36 hours prior to the event, we will disclose and send out the exact location and time. But I believe Colorado Springs, I believe is where you're heading to. Someone from Colorado, if I've got that wrong, you can come into the queue. Great. Thank you so much. And then we will be announcing in the next few days the balance of this leg of the president's tour in of the dates in California and in Oregon. He's going to come to see us in Oregon.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you know, that all costs money. So I understand we have Peggy Smith on the line. And Peggy, I'd like you to give a PSA for what God's put on your heart to assist this process. So if you're on, you have the floor.
Yes. Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
You're a little soft, so speak up and go ahead.
Thank you so much, and this is perfect timing, talking about his trip. First of all, for all of you that do not know who we are, my husband is governor of Oklahoma, and we also are associate pastors at a non-denominational church here in Oklahoma. And we've been serving the Lord for 28, going on 29 years. And I said that to say this, that I know the voice of the Lord when I hear it, and as you all do. So Saturday morning, he laid on my heart to ask each and every member of the Republic to rise up and support the Republic, support the President in what he is doing. He is on the road. At that time, he was getting ready to go out, I'm thinking, and to go forth in his endeavors to talk about the Republic and greet the people. And when the Lord laid this on my heart to ask everyone to give financially to this, to make a difference, you know, it cost money to be out there traveling. And the Lord laid it on my heart that we just need to support him in these expenses, you know, take up the slack in this, because gas is almost $4 a gallon. And, you know, for lodging and food, and we just need to recognize that he needs help in this. And that's what the Lord laid on my heart. And, you know, we all can do something. Every one of us can do something, some more than others. But what I would like for you to do, each and every one of you, to go before the Lord and ask him, you know, what is my part? What do you want me to do in this, Father? You know, just pray and ask him what he would have in you to do. And some of us can give more than others. But God will, just be obedient in what he's telling you to do. And, you know, I want you to look at something. If 2,000 members gave $50, say I'm just using that for an example, $50, that would be $100,000. So we can make a difference. Our little can be a lot. And when we rise up as one and put our monies together. He may ask you to give $1,000, $10,000, but we can all do something. And you know, look at it this way: everything that we're blessed with, God has allowed us to have. All of our monies, all of our possessions, they're all His, and He's given us temporary ownership. And so we need to keep that in mind when we go before him and just ask him, you know, what is our part? What would you have us to give? And to give it, pray over it, and to give it out of a willing heart. Also, I would like to add, not to get discouraged about the funding not coming in yet. I think the enemy would like for us to focus on that, but God is dealing with the funders. Why do I know that? Is because we've asked him to. And until they step up and obey him, this is God's plan for us to unite as one and to do our very best in our giving. And this is God's plan to help with the expenses. So I pray that each and every one of you would take this seriously. I know that I have the Lord has woken me up 3 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, with this on my heart. All of you out there that are teachers of the Word, are evangelists, or pastors, will know what I'm talking about. When God gives you something to share with the people, you carry it until it's fulfilled. And that's what he's done with me. He has given me this to bring it before you, the people, and to ask you to please step up. And don't leave it up to your brother or your sister to answer what God has asked us to do. Each and every one of us, it's our responsibility, each and every one of us, to fulfill this, what God has asked us to do in taking up this the slack in these expenses for these travels. And I just ask each and every one of you to have an urgency. Janine has set up, there is an account already set up, and she has the information to transfer monies or to mail it, however you need to get it to the bank. Just please have an urgency in you.
Thank you, Peggy. Janine, why don't you give us the information if you have it there?
Thank you, Robert. The name of the ministry is God's Will Be Done Ministry. At the same email account, godswillbedoneministry@gmail.com. The account is set up with Bank of America. The account number is 485-007-878-135. You can also mail your donations and gifts to God's Will Be Done Ministry at 3040 Southeast Persons Court, P as in Paul, E-R-S-O-N-S Court, C-O-U-R-T, Portland, Oregon, 97267. And I will be posting this document with the information along with tonight's call on the national site for your convenience. So again, Bank of America, the name of the ministry is God's Will Be Done. The president is traveling for the benefit of the people and the strength of our republic, and no one should bear the cost alone. So we are asking everyone to help support this trip. And with that, Robert, I yield the floor.
Very good. Thank you all. Thank you, Peggy. Well, our next caller has challenged the funders on one of our calls this week. Mark Gardner, good evening, sir.
Hi there. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I usually have so much to say in so little time. I'd like to ask the president if I could give him five suggestions here for organizational the Republic. I'll go through these really quickly, as fast as I can. I'd like to suggest that we develop a general organizational team for the Republic to help the states and to help the general organization of the Republic, just whatever is necessary to make us all more efficient, just an oversight team that's all they do is look at organizational weaknesses and then make recommendations and take action to fix those weaknesses. That would be a general organizational team. Number two, I suggest that we have a cross-organizational database where if a Secretary of Transportation in one state wants to talk to another Secretary of Transportation, there would be a database where all of those officers of the different states could contact their counterparts in those other states. So whether it's energy, agriculture, transportation, whatever that is. So set up some kind of system of a cross-organizational database. Number three, a media spin and Republic education team. This is a team that would take any kind of adverse publicity and immediately respond to it. It'd be a quick action team that would immediately put out on the internet corrections to the misguided material and fix it. Also, would in addition to that, educate them in the process of spinning the bad story. Now, we know that there's a lot of stuff out there. If you Google Tim Turner's name, there's a lot of propaganda. We need to get a team on that to fix all that stuff. And also, Twitter campaign. I think that all of us can get on Twitter and just sit out there every day, you know, for 5-10 minutes and put out a positive tweet on Twitter. I'm going real fast here. I've got two more. The last marketing, which I guess you've already worked on, that's to market the Republic. And the last, beside the fifth one, is a fundraising team. Their full job is to fundraise only. And they're 24 hours, they're fundraising experts. So, Mr. President, could I get your comments on that?
Well, I think it's a great idea. We need to start working on those things, but we do have to have guidance from Congress to do the things that we're doing. So, but I encourage you to get with Congress, and let's see if we can't get these things going, because we do need them.
Mark, I just have to say one thing about you, my friend. You have a mind that is ahead of the curve. You're constantly ahead of the curve. I deeply appreciate your forward thinking and getting those thoughts channeled into the areas where they can be effective. I think is just it's a great gift you have. So I see that Mark Lounsbury is on the call. I'm sure that that list could clearly go to the House. It could go to us in the cabinet. And it could go to each branch of government to look at it, self-checking and having a critical eye, a constructive critical eye on the systems we have in place and how to measure them and how to make them better is a delicate balance along with the hand of God that moves. And it's not always so left brain, right brain, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your allowing me to kind of just put out this big spiel. I don't like to just do that as a lecture because I'd like to have, but I got to get the idea out there. So I don't mean to seem so domineering here. So, but I thank you very much.
Why don't you
Mark?
Yeah, send us your list, Mark, and I'll make sure the president has it for sure. And
sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll definitely do that. I'll send it over to you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Janine, we have a couple left in the queue.
Yes, we have one that's already asked a question and one that hasn't. So let's go with Lynette, who has not asked a question yet. Go ahead, Lynette.
Thank you so much, Janine. Lynette Strasser, Secretary of Education for Colorado. And I am also coordinating any RSVPs for the President's visit on Sunday. So I did just want to get that email address out there for anyone that is planning to travel to our state. We would be more than happy to have them. They can reply to me at Lynette Strasser, which is LynetteStrauser at Q, as in quest, .com. And I will appreciate their response.
Lynette, would you repeat that one more time, just a little slower for everyone?
I'll try. I was trying to go slow, but not too slow. LynetteStrauser at Q. com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lynette. Our final caller in the queue is Monty Olson.
Yes, Robert, I'm trying to remember the name of the pastor that put together a teaching on the Republic, and I believe you had him on the roundtable call. He put on this, and everybody had to be invited into it and had to sign an oath. I can't remember his name offhand.
Mark, that would be Mark out of Missouri. Mark Hafner.
Okay, could you give out his information? And then I have a question for Pat Hatlon. And the question for Pat is, Pat, are you talking about Protandem, a product that you don't dare bring up because you produce it or are a distributor of it, as well as other people underneath you, including myself? And are you also suggesting, without saying it, that magnesium oil solution is something everybody should be on? And that's that I yield?
Yes and yes, Monty. Those are both good questions, and
I generally reserve promoting a product. If people are interested, they can always get in contact with me when we do these types of calls. But yes to the Protandim and yes to the magnesium oil. It's magnesium in chloride form.
Boy, you know, we talked about this a little bit, Patrick. You weren't on the call, but I spoke a little bit about this with Morley and Senator Reed and Dr. Liz. Could you talk a little bit about this magnesium oil and how that is and how it's important for the body's function? I think it's a very important part of this that we didn't get to tonight, and it'd be great to finish on it.
Well, that's a great question, and I appreciate it, Robert. Magnesium is the third most required element for the support of life. We understand that air and water are critical, and I don't know which one of those two is one or two, but number three is magnesium. It is at the heart of our red blood cells. It's at the center of all energy production in the body. People may be familiar with the Krebs cycle. Magnesium is responsible for driving that. Magnesium is also responsible for over 350 enzyme actions in the body. I would like to say that it's responsible for just about every enzyme action because there's energy associated with enzyme activity. When we see, for example, chronic and degenerative disease, generally we can point to a magnesium deficiency. And that can come from several different reasons, but at the heart, blood is the critical area of function for magnesium on a minute-by-minute, second-by-second basis. But across the long term, magnesium is a support for all tissue, whether it's soft tissue or hard tissue. Our bones and our teeth get their hardness from magnesium with a proper calcium balance. But today, because we're deficient in magnesium, we see chronic mineral deficiencies being the foundational cause of all of our chronic conditions and degenerative disease. I'd like to say that regarding the insulin question, insulin is dependent upon magnesium, which is dependent upon insulin. Without the two, your entire endocrine hormonal system or hormone imbalances will be out, and you'll experience any number of adrenal issues, but magnesium would be at the heart of all of those as well. And that's a very quick synoptic review of magnesium. That guy can go much deeper, but that's a very quick down and dirty approach to magnesium.
Well, I certainly would really welcome that to be the topic of a call at some point in the future. I think it's really important. There's so much more. We had so much dynamic conversation tonight on this call between the breaking news with Randy and what is happening in the network media, and the intensity of the fast process here. We just touched on it, and it's just been a very full call. It's gone on way too long, but it's been full. I want to thank everyone who's been on the call with us. I want to give our guests an opportunity to make closing comments. So let's start with you, Randy.
Well, a great call overall, and I just wanted to reach back out again. I think it was David, but, you know, news for everybody. The sheer fact that in my race I was willing to walk away from it, I don't know if the phone call that I received earlier from one of the other Senate candidates that I became good friends with is going to be about the same thing, but he reached out to me and said that he really would like to discuss something with me. So I'm anxious to speak with him tomorrow as well. So it's been definitely an interesting day. But I think we're going to see, we have the potential to see a whole lot of defections. Mine may not be the only one. Mine may turn out to be old news, as we have a whole lineup of people between now and November do the exact same thing and beyond. So we're in for some very exciting times.
Yes, we are. President Turner.
Yes, Robert. I'd like to say thank you to everyone that participated in the call tonight. I appreciate your interest in the Republic and those that have dedicated their lives to it. And we look forward to building this Republic together and becoming a very strong and driving force in bringing our nation back to what it should be among the nations. God bless all of you and have a wonderful night. Look forward to visiting with our friends in Colorado and other states. So hopefully I'll be able to meet most of you and talk with you soon, face to face. God bless everyone. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you, Mr. President. And a representative out of one of those from the medical team, would you like to make a closing thought?
This is Dr. Liz. I'd just like to say what a privilege it is to be part of the Health and Wellness and Aging Committee and to be instrumental in assuring the health of all of the members that are helping to drive this republic forward so that we can be the first tier and then spread that good information and health and healing to the rest of the country at large. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Rowdy, I wonder if you would be so kind as to close us in a word of prayer.
I certainly would. And before I do, Robert, thank you for this call. This has been awesome. I want to remind everyone out there in their prayers, please think in terms of narrowing your prayers to something very specific. And I want to tell you all what has happened in Iowa is a result of a very narrow prayer for people to come in the Republic, to put people in front of me that were homeschoolers and Ron Paul supporters. And Randy Shannon is a homeschooler and a Ron Paul supporter. Prayers are answered, and great things happen from very specific, narrow prayers. So with that said, I want to invite all of you to join me. Our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Jehovah, we are coming before you, a proud and grateful nation. We are the members of the Republic at this time, the same Republic that you brought forth with the efforts of the Founding Fathers, with those who were called the Black Robe Regiments, who preached about the rights and liberties that you bestow upon the people, not upon a king, but upon the people on the land. And that, again, we are on this land, and this whole process, while it benefits us greatly, is to your glory. As we work each day, as we focus on the things that need to be done, such as on the media committee, so that so many more people will have access to this republic, gain access to this knowledge, to read what Randy Shannon's resignation letter had to say and hear her words. And that she now, as a senator, is not forgetting these people. She is reaching out more and more to more people all across this country, which is what her job requires as a United States senator in this republic. Help her, strengthen each one on this call that is having more and more demanded of them as more and more people are coming into this republic. Give us the love. Endow us with this incredible depth of love for our fellow members of the republic and for those that are coming, so that when we are in front of someone that you have in mind for us to speak with, have that love be instantaneous so they may respond to that and join this republic and join it to become lovers themselves for those who are yet to come in, for family members they may need to reach out to, and neighbors. And in this so doing, this de facto can go away more quickly, and we need not fear, as the president said, where there is faith, there is no fear. And Father in heaven, we tonight proclaim to you, we have such faith. We are prepared to step back on this land and take it. Take it from those who stole it from you and from your progeny, we the people. Having said this, we give you our love. We return all glory to you. And we say this in the name of your Son, our King, with whom we also work, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you all our guests and all of those who you've stayed with us on the call. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. God bless.
God bless.
Only imagine.
it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Oh, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Yeah, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? My knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine.
Lift your hands to the Lord, right?